and that's how I feel.
And this is what I meant.
I feel like we're not meant to win at the moment. I just feel like everything's conspiring against the Bulldogs at the moment that we're not winning. I didn't ever mean that the referees, as long as he... I mean, I'm telling him what to say. I'm not really too sure what he meant.
I'm Arthur Stevens. The ABC is reporting today that ACT prosecutors will go after the assets of criminals if they can be linked to a crime, even when a criminal prosecution's failed. Canberra's Director of Public Prosecutions, John White, has told the national broadcaster his department's recruited three lawyers with civil law experience to assist a police push to target the proceeds of crime. He says the program will help to disrupt criminal activity, collecting or withholding millions of dollars worth of assets each year.
Last year, I think there was something like $2 million worth of property that was forfeited to the territory. At the moment, I think we have something like $25 million of assets under restraint.
Police in Adelaide say they're pursuing all lines of inquiry as they try to find a teenager missing for a fortnight following a high-speed pursuit. Crews spent yesterday scouring isolated scrubland for 19-year-old Scott Redmond, but didn't find him. The land and air search on the state's Eyre Peninsula isn't expected to continue today, but police say they'll continue to explore all possibilities. And they're hopeful the teenager will be found alive. Police believe he was an occupant of a car involved in a pursuit on the Eyre Highway near Kimber on April 21st. The pursuit was terminated due to safety concerns with the black station wagon found on a dirt road 40 kilometres east of Kimber 4 days later. Queensland police are investigating a serious traffic crash at Chambers Flat south of Brisbane last night. Police say a car ran off the Chambers Flat Road just after 11:30 and rolled, throwing the 27-year-old woman driver from the car. She's been taken to Princess Alexandra Hospital in a serious condition. Hundreds are expected to rally at South Australia's Parliament House today over live sheep exports. RSPCA South Australia is calling on the government to put an immediate stop to long-haul sheep shipments during the Middle East summer. The organisation's animal welfare advocate, Rebecca Ez, will address the crowd at the rally. There'll also be a rally in South Hobart today, with thousands expected to gather to protest the proposed development of a cable car at Mount Wellington, Canangie. Organisers say the rally in the Cascade Gardens will be attended by representatives from the tourism and environment industries, as well as mountain bikers and locals. Speakers include former Greens leader Bob Brown, Independent MP Andrew Wilkie, and Man Booker Prize winner Richard Flanagan. The rally will call on the Tasmanian state government to revoke authority granted over the proposal. Groups opposed to the cable cars say they're concerned it could impact Tasmania's tourist industry and cause traffic problems. The rape and death of a teenage girl in India's east has been described by a government official as barbaric. Despite 14 arrests, the main subject is still on the run. This from the BBC's Ambaris Anitarajan.
The rape and killing of the teenage girl has triggered shock and anger across the country, reeling under a string of violent sexual crimes. The Chief Minister of Jharkhand, Raghuvar Das, said there was no place in society for such ghastly acts. The victim's parents complained to village elders about the sexual assault and they ordered the accused to do 100 sit-ups and a fine of $750. Police said the punishment enraged the men who beat the girl's parents before setting their house on fire. She was burned to death.
This is Air News. League and Queensland State of Origin hopeful Jai Arrow has been taken to hospital after suffering abdominal and rib pain during Gold Coast 32-18 loss to Canberra at GIO Stadium. For Canberra, coach Ricky Stewart told Macquarie Radio suggestions of the Raiders' mental weakness is wrong.
If we were a mentally weak team, we would have started to get the shakes, and they didn't. If you're mentally weak and start to think about what could happen because they're scoring a try, I'd be worried as a coach, but they knew how they scored the tries.
Other results saw the Warriors take a 26-4 win over West Tigers, while the Sharks were 22-20 winners over the Eels. AFL and Adelaide's overcome a second-quarter lull to defeat winless Carlton by 55 points. Meanwhile, Carlton coach Brendan Bolton admits his side's record-breaking winless start of the year churns and hurts him, but he's confident the Blues will eventually be repaid for the pain they're currently enduring.
They jumped us, obviously, in the first, and it was 5 goals in their advantage in the first and the same in the third. Our second quarter was really strong, and our last quarter we didn't give up. But there's inconsistencies, but the longer we play together, the more they're in those games against quality teams, the more we'll grow.
In the other match last night, North Melbourne were 2-point winners over Sydney, with the Eagles, Hawks and Bulldogs taking the points earlier in the day. Finally, in the A-League...
G'day, Laurie Daly here. Ever wanted
wanted to know what's going on in an NRL player's head? Well, now the Tab app gives you exclusive tips, insights and analysis this NRL season, thanks to new NRL previews featuring myself. So get ahead of the game every game this footy season.
Download the Tab app and access new NRL previews today. Tab, we love a bet. Tab previews available for account holders only. Gamble responsibly.
I hear Volkswagen has some great Amarok V6 turbo diesel deals.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. The Sportline Auto from just $52,990 drive away. And the Highline Auto from only $58,990 drive away. Plus, a bloody good finance offer on both.
Yeah, right.
I also hear the offer ends June 30, 2018. While stocks last, to approved applicants of Volkswagen Financial Services Australia Proprietary Limited. ABN 2009707140. ACL 309344. Terms, conditions, fees and charges apply. Visit Volkswagen.com.au.
Yeah. Mate.
Better check out the end of financial year sale today.
Goodness gracious me! Alessio Nanduba has scored an absolute worldie to win the Singapore Sevens for Fiji.
And time runs out. And for the Philadelphia Eagles, the long drought is over. Finally.
Wings takes the lead from Galo's shot, and here's her second, Queen Elizabeth. This is a silver jubilee moment on the throne for 25 consecutive wins.
On Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock, over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Turn it up loud and proud, Raymond, because we are on the airwaves, 7 till 10 on your Sunday morning. I hope everyone's having a great start to their Sunday. I know we always do here on a Sunday morning, don't we, mate?
You pumped?
I am, actually. Well, there's a lot going on today. We'll have our race replays, and after we get past that, we can really get into the program.
Say things like that.
Did that come out of my mouth?
It did. Big day in world racing today, though.
I just thought that. Yeah, 144th run to the Roses.
Mm-hmm. English 2,000 guineas overnight.
Churchill Downs is where we believe there's a lot of rain around.
Yes.
Actually, we don't believe it. We know it. So what about this? The track downgrade from fast to muddy.
To sloppy.
Sloppy. And that's just the behaviour of some of the patrons there at Churchill Downs.
Is the lovely Tracy's mum and dad there?
Yes, Kurt and Mary, they're live over there from Churchill Downs.
Wow.
We won't be catching up with them later on in the program. Kim War, we will be catching up with our century. Had a win yesterday, and a good win it was too at Rosehill Gardens.
Big win.
Very exciting times for this this stay that they bought from Lloyd Williams. They bought a couple.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one's called, well, how do you pronounce it, Ray?
I pronounce it Goatland, but everyone's saying Goatland. So we'll ask him.
Well, it's Goatland, but it's Goat. You're right. You're right.
I don't know if I am right. I don't know.
Well, I think you're right, but Goatland... It's not as good as saying as Goatland.
Goatland.
So we'll go with Goatland. I'm sure Kim doesn't call it that. We'll find out this morning. Bjorn Baker had a really good win with Champagne Cuddles. Now,
nice horse. Yeah.
I love the way whenever there's a sprinter wins in good time around this time of the year, they think, slot holder. What's
Everest?
The slot holder doing at the Everest? We need to find out. We'll get an update on that very shortly. Zorba, we'll be talking league. And... as we say every week, lots to talk about. Not only from the Manly Club, but of course from the world of rugby league as well. We'll have a chat to John Massara as well. Event Cinema's quiz score update.
Is it 11-6, James Smith?
No, it's not.
10-7?
Yes.
Ah, okay.
You bounced back last week.
Okay.
Don't worry, I was surprised as you were. We will speak to Tom Magnier from Coolmore. He is live at Churchill Downs about the Kentucky Derby coming up, and we'll get that very shortly. So if you want to have a look at the favourites at that, tab.com.au, it is Mendelssohn for Coolmore,
$3.70
favourite, and then Justify is getting out to $5. Maybe the sloppy conditions don't suit the Bob Baffett, Mike Smith horse Justify. Our legend of the game today, we're back with our legend of the game, Ryan Girdler, the Panthers centre.
A point scoring machine, James Smith.
Actually, I should say the Illawarra Steelers.
I know, I forgot he actually started off at the Steelers.
Yeah, he's a young South Coast boy, so good to have him on the program. We'll have a sports update with Tanya. Robbie Slater will give us all the latest in the world of football. Wow, what did you think of that last night? Great crowd up there at McDonald Jones Stadium.
Mm.
The vast majority of them left disappointed 1-0.
VAR.
The VAR. What's it stand for?
Very average result.
Oh, dear.
What did you think? It was offside, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes.
Why didn't they use it?
I don't know. Well, they did
use
it.
Well, they said they checked, yeah.
Yes, they did use it. So don't tell me it's human error. It's got involved again. I thought that only happened in the bunker.
It's just football's version of the bunker.
Did you see Roy O'Donovan's send-off?
Yeah.
That was the craziest thing I've ever seen.
In what regard?
Well, I thought you want to do karate, you go down to the local martial arts centre.
I know he was going for the ball, but
the
you don't go like that.
Who was that?
Lawrence Thomas.
Lawrence Thomas.
Man of the match. What a performance. He did it against Sydney FC. He did it against Sydney FC. He was even better last night.
He ended up like the mummy. Can we just tell you how he ended up with the bandages all over his head? Ended up like the mummy.
A warrior.
Munsey we've got rid of, and Trent Lenscale is back from tab.com.au. So that's the program, Raymond, in a nutshell. Good morning to you.
Outstanding, yeah. Good morning, James. Good morning, everyone. So much happened in sport during the week, as it always does.
Of course.
But can I start off with Justin Langer's appointment as Cricket Australia's
good
new
place
coach?
To start. Yes. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Why is he doing all three jobs? I thought.
Wasn't Pontingen running for 2020 job?
I'd have thought so.
Maybe that's what Langer stipulated. He wanted all three jobs
to coordinate. Well, that's a bad way to start.
No, maybe he just said, look, if I'm going to coach of Australian cricket team, I want to coach all three forms of the game.
But don't you think that it's better that there are separate coaches for the separate forms of
the
game?
I'm not sure. I'm not sold on that.
I am.
Yeah, okay. I'm not sold on that. I think having one message is important. And I think what Justin Langer brings to this cricket team is one very, very important message.
What's that?
Team.
Yeah.
And respect for the team. And I think what was his line? Respect means more to him than all the gold in the world. Now, if he can bring that ethos to this Australian cricket team, great news, James Smith.
The one thing I will say about Justin Langer, his results are outstanding.
Yes.
From a coaching point of view. The other thing about it is his timing is impeccable with coming into this Australian side, because you have total control. And I mean that by big egos in there that are going to be able to push
Good
you
point.
Around and be able to say, put you under pressure with your either tenure or with Cricket Australia.
And I know.
And when those people come back into the side,
they'll be different
if
men.
They're not towing the line,
they'll be different
you
men.
Can immediately make changes.
Two things. Justin Langer comes into the Australian cricket side, 100% your point's right. We did win the Ashes over the summer, but we're coming off a very low base because South Africa was almost a nada for Australian cricket in a lot of respects.
I don't even mean results.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, where...
Such a low base.
Absolutely, yes.
Well, interesting to see Steve Smith and Dave Warner this week. Steve Smith coming back into Australia, left...
Pop their heads up.
Yeah, sent a message, and I don't know if you checked it out on Instagram, but the levels of support, I'd say 99% for Steve Smith. There were a couple of people who had a go at him and told him where to go, but... The rest of the world, and there was hundreds and hundreds of messages, all in support of Steve Smith. And then Dave Warner pops up in Darwin doing a clinic with kids. So,
so you've
got to start somewhere.
So it's on.
No, you shouldn't be cynical, James. You've got to start somewhere.
Shouldn't be cynical.
Yeah, you laughed there. Huh?
Well, here we go.
You've got to start somewhere.
All I'll say is this. The fact that they didn't challenge the findings of Cricket Australia.
PR disaster if they did.
For Cricket Australia, because it would have been overturned. I have no doubt. Stand by, everyone. I have no doubt that those three cricketers will be back and available for selection before the end of their 12-month ban.
How are they going to do that?
Oh, we'll revisit that. We felt we acted too swiftly. What we will do on this occasion is look back at precedents. And
precedents are one game mostly, and
exactly,
and a fine, a match fee or something.
Exactly,
it's ridiculous.
So when it all dies down, when all the heat has gone out of it, and as you say, 99% of the heat has gone out of it. When it's all died down, in the dark of night, in the middle of July, Cricket Australia will have another review on the review that reviewed the review, and they will say, we perhaps acted too swiftly,
a bit harsh on these guys.
Yes, and you know what? They're available to play Sheffield Shield cricket. And then a month after that. And you know what? Maybe we will make them available for the Indian Test Series that's coming up.
So are you against that?
No, I'm not. I think that's the right thing to happen.
Correct.
But you can't tell me that if you're in Cricket Australia's position or if you're in the players' position, that you walked into a mediation and didn't say, all right, we won't challenge if you do that. And if you're Cricket Australia, Cricket Australia would have said, yep, sounds good to me. I'm not saying that's happened, and no one will ever admit to that happened.
In the cold light of day, I think everyone now of fair mind believes that their sanctions were too harsh, correct?
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. I mean, you and I said it from the start.
Mm.
The morning of it, you said, well, they'll definitely have to miss the next test match.
That would have been enough.
You didn't think they'd have to miss the next test year. That's right. Bulldogs beaten by the Broncos on Thursday. Fair or unfair?
Mm. What was your thoughts?
Jermaine Asako, knock on or no knock on?
I've seen you engage in a lot of social media banter about that. And a couple of people who have got an opposite view to you.
They do?
Yeah, I don't know if quite rightly, but they said a knock on is when a person propels the ball forward. Now, in this instance, was it propelled forward, Jim? Because you had that line. I know what you're saying. Because you see that call all the time, and it's just a knock-on these days, isn't it? 100% knock-on. Well, by the letter of the law, is it actually a knock-on?
But here's the
it
other
went
thing.
Backwards, didn't
here's
it?
The level of complexity that you want to add to it. Mm. Did it go backwards? He knocked it on. He was going backwards as well. He dropped it cold in front of him.
And it's always cold
he
knock-on.
He gave himself
that.
Up.
He did, yeah.
Somehow they called it play on.
Mm.
So what we had, the incredible situation on Friday, or might have been Saturday, Friday, where the referee's boss, Bernard Sutton, defended his brother, Jared Sutton, and his other brother, Chris Sutton, and said the decision was right.
Didn't look good.
Didn't look good at all. So where's the transparency on that?
And
a week earlier, Ray, Nene McDonald gets the ball, drops it, and then Bernard Sutton comes out and says, that video official got it wrong.
Mm. The consistency factor, again, we come back, because that is basically a knock-on 99% of the time, isn't it, these days?
Go 999.
Okay, always called. So that's what frustrates fans more than anything, James, is the consistency factor. It drives you mad.
And the other thing, you can't put your hand up and say, yeah, you know what, my two brothers made a mistake.
Why can't you? Well, you should be able to.
I would if I had a brother, but I don't. So the Knights, they didn't win, but Kalen Ponga is just a star. We understand that. I can't believe the bad luck that the Penrith Panthers are having. Mm. What happened to Trent Merrin in the warm-up?
Did you see it? Most innocuous little thing, but it could be out for 6 weeks.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, just horrendous. So they were very game, the Panthers, but the Cowboys, have they turned the corner, Jim? Just Jonathan Thurston's first half, outstanding.
Yeah.
Controlled the game.
Isn't he great to watch? Mm. Love watching him. Raiders 32 points to 18 over the Titans, too strong.
Bit of a roll, the Raiders now.
Yes. Warriors 26-4 over the Tigers. You had a point on this. I was on the plane.
The submitting of players.
Yeah.
How influential it has become in the modern rugby league. Two Tigers players were sin-binned yesterday at various stages of the match.
Did they deserve to be sin-binned?
Second one, I don't think so.
Okay.
And I'd love to see what our listeners thought.
Yes.
It was for repeated offences in defence, so to speak. But, I think it was a harsh penalty. And it was 12-4 at the time. The Tigers were desperately trying to hang on. So that's now three losses in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Where does that leave them now, Jim?
Mm-hmm.
Slippery slope a bit, or what?
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. And the final game, it's Sharks 22 over
that
the Eels.
That was a crazy
20,
game of football.
Which
crazy.
Leads us to our talk topic. Mitchell Moses with a kick it goal after the siren to
wasn't
send it
easy.
Into Golden Point. No one said it was easy. Mm. However, he missed.
Mm.
Only just. So we're bringing up near misses.
You can go first.
Near misses.
Mm.
Well, near miss, you could work it each way, but a near miss for the Melbourne Storm in the 2016 grand final.
Yes.
Ricky Latelli. How do they... If I don't know whether Cooper Cronk's still calling for Will Chambers to pass the ball to him on the inside. How the Melbourne Storm
didn't score
in that final 90 seconds of that grand final. I know Shark supporters who couldn't watch
minutes. That was fantastic footy, wasn't it? Yeah.
Ricky Latelli, there should be a shrine. There should be a statue to that great man down there at Shark Park somewhere who came up with that final tackle. Unbelievable. And the Melbourne Storm missed out on winning a premiership.
Which you love, yeah.
Oh,
near misses.
Dear.
I'll just say two words.
Here we go.
Greg Norman. You can say which one.
Yeah, well, where are you going?
87 Masters.
Okay.
Larry Myers chip in. From off the green, he was miles away. It rolled straight into the bloody cup.
You know what you thought? It's okay. Greg will win one at some stage.
At some stage. It never happened, did he? I know he won two British Opens, but he never won a major in US Soil.
Do you know that in 1986, going into the final round of all four majors...
He led. All four.
All
Unbelievable.
Four.
Yeah.
All four.
efforts.
And he won one of them.
Speaking of golf, this isn't a near miss. This is good to see. Jason Day is running back in a bit of form here. He's gone through the 16th in the Wells Fargo Championship at Charlotte. 10 under, he's in front, James. Tiger Woods has shot a 68 third round to get to 1 under. But Jason Day showing a bit of form. Got it to 10 under so far, leads by a shot.
So there's our talk topic for today, near misses. We want to hear your thoughts, 1353 53. On that or any other news that's going around in the world of rugby league, thoughts or opinions, 0419 767 272. 0419 767 272. Of course, you can get us on Twitter as well, at Big Sports WEND, at Big Sports WEND. It's 20 minutes past 7, it's time for a break, and then we'll be back with more.
We Greek gods have given you mortals many things, but now we present our greatest gift, Greek lamb with tzatziki from Subway. Deliciously tender sliced Australian lamb, marinated in garlic and paprika, topped with zesty tzatziki sauce. It's a mouth-watering taste of Greece. So get it before it's gone. Greek lamb from Subway. That's my kind of heavenly taste. Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Pecans is just in front and pecans won the crown.
Tricolours have enjoyed instant success with multiple group winner pecans, and so could you. Tricolours offers quality bred yearlings under the care of some of our best trainers. Shares are available in yearlings by Inform Sires, Hinchinbrook, Star Witness, Your Song and More Than Ready, with leading trainers Joe Pride, Matt Smith and Mark Newnham. To learn more, visit tricolours.com.au. AFSL 336-964.
Elmandon and Heartbreak City. What a finish to the Melbourne Cup. Elmandon putting his nose in front of Heartbreak City. They hit the line. Elmandon. Elmandon won it by a very narrow margin from Heartbreak City.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres. At Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray. 7:21 on your Sunday morning. Jimmy, must confess, I had a rare sad day off yesterday.
I noted there was nothing from you in the paper on Friday nor Saturday.
Real week off, actually. Yeah.
Are you okay? Is everything fine?
No, great. Watched a bit of you yesterday doing your commentary. Very good. Then I went and watched Tanya play netball.
How'd she go?
Yeah. A grade.
Oh, no good.
Yeah.
Thumbs down.
Didn't have their shooter.
Tan.
Didn't have their shooter who was out for the week.
What position does Tan play?
Goal defence.
Goal defence. You know, you need a
BAG.
You need to be a better athlete to play defence than you do attack.
Agree. And we actually had a discussion about this afterwards, but I won't go into it on air. She played very well.
I'll tell you what. Could you?
Great point, Ray.
That would be fascinating. Thanks, Mossy.
No, I don't know. In a positive way. But and she played very well. But unfortunately, with no shooter, they struggled to get points. And
yes.
In A grade. Very fast, Jim. Very impressive.
Yeah, there you go.
It's good to watch. Anyway, hey, look, did keep an eye on the races yesterday, and the first one we want to highlight is race one, Gem Song. Chris Lee's got a couple of really nice two-year-olds. I don't know how this horse won. A bit like Graf last week. Absolutely outstanding performance.
Roosevelt hooked to the outside into third, 2.5 lengths to make up. England's about to shake up the favourite now. Then Brilliant Mind, Knockout Girl, Gem Song's trying to get out. Then River Bird, it's Miss Invincible in front at the furlong pole. Gee, the favourite's in hot water, Roosevelt. It's going to run closer to last than first. 1:25 left to run. Miss Invincible in front. Brilliant Mind and Gem Song. Gem Song's flashing late. They hit it. I reckon it got up. I reckon in the last hop, Gem Song will beat Miss Invincible, who had the race won everywhere bar the post. Third in Brilliant.
So this is the same as Graf last week for Chris Lees. Don't know how they win, but Gem Song does. So the two-year-old, I think he's thinking about Brisbane, right?
Possibly, yeah.
Yes.
See how the colt pulls up, and potentially he's a horse for the spring as well.
Okay.
It was a really good effort. Don't know how he managed to do it. Similarly in the Lord Mayor's Cup, the feature at Rose Hill yesterday, our century, three wide the whole way. He was just too good.
My Nordic Heroes after Ecuador at the top of the straight. Our century is there. Allward called upon. Natoya to the outside and then followed Morris. 200 left to run. Ecuador joined by our century. My Nordic Hero boxes on. Natoya can't get to them for the moment. It's our century in front from Ecuador and Natoya. Our century wins the Lord Mayor's Cup. Our century by a length to Ecuador. Third either My Nordic Hero or Natoya.
$145,000 purchase from Lloyd Williams. Mark Waugh said, can you give us one of your casts off? And he said, I think these two are okay. So there's Goatland and our century. And our century It's a very good win for a lightly raced 7-year-old gelding.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Kim's now won two races with these two horses in a matter of weeks, and our century potentially Brisbane Cup now.
Yeah, and we're going to speak to Kim a little bit later on in the program as well.
Big day up at the Gold Coast, and I wanted to highlight Champagne Cuddles for a number of reasons. She was outstanding on her return. She ran brilliant time. She's very, very good. And as you mentioned earlier, Jimmy, is she on the way to the Everest?
YPA went by the 400 metres marker, led by length and a half to Freddie Foxtrot. Champagne Cuddles peeling out, going to third. She's up to second now, and Micah's is over on the inside. YPA led by length and a half. Champagne Cuddles goes into second here at the 200 metre marker. Marble runs home down the outside. YPO is still the leader. Champagne Cuddles on the outside at the 50. YPO, Champagne Cuddles. Champagne Cuddles goes home, and Champagne Cuddles three quarters to YPO. Two lengths away, third.
Oh, there would have been Champagne Cuddles all round for Bjorn Baker. And the Gold Coast Guineas win there in a record time as well. So, as you say, everyone, ding, 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 the Everest.
You say little thing, Champagne Cuddles. Only small, but got a big heart.
What about YPO? Did its best, nearly led everywhere, led for 1,148 metres.
So, did you see the replay?
Yeah.
Just put a little head down, didn't you? And try to get a heart out to get past YPO. So.
Very good ride, too, from Corey Brown.
So. Oh, he's riding brilliantly. Two Group 1s in Adelaide yesterday. The first of them, a fantastic story, this Harry Coffey on Suppressor in the Oaks.
Coming deep, she's dashing. Aloysius still well back with Velocita and Earth Angel. They're in the straight now, and the leader was Think Blur, but Suppressor got off its back and comes after it now. The Weir Fillies are first and second at the moment. Down the outside, Temple of Bell, Satterkull battling away. Think Blur led. Suppressor the outside. She's dashing, running on late. Suppressor going up now, running on late down the outside. She's dashing with Miss Aberration, but Suppressor! Suppressor for Harry Coffey, the jockey who overcame adversity, wins his first Group 1 and beats She's Dashing with Miss Admiration close up.
All right, extend on that. Harry Coffey has overcome adversity.
Cystic fibrosis. Yeah.
Wow. Mm.
And he's ridden through his career in just, as the course said, so much adversity.
Yes.
And he's one of those guys who's always smiling.
Right.
He's a half full glass type of kid.
Yeah.
He's young, he's a talent, and everyone was happy for him yesterday. It was great. His first Group 1. So.
Is that a degenerative thing, cystic fibrosis?
Yes.
That's a sad and happy story all rolled into one.
It is, yeah, but congratulations to him. On to the Sangster Stakes, $1 million sprint, Jim.
Yeah.
Scholes, possibly heading for England. She's outstanding.
Supercash riding for luck near the inside, coming deep with Shoals. They're in the straight. Miss Rock joined by It's Been a Battle. Formality deeper with True Excelsior. Looking for a run, Qualista, and Shoals is letting go down the outside with a big run. Secret Agenda running on as well, but Shoals out wide. Moved up and ran to the lead here and burst away, Shoals, from running to second. Secret Agenda, Michael Lill late, but Shoals wins effortlessly. Wins from Secret Agenda second. I think Michael Lill's run third. What a story.
Well, Scholes is going to be pretty sought after Broodmare, right? What do you think might be the price tag on her? Okay.
There is a Group 1 in Adelaide in 2 weeks' time, but I had a quick chat with John Massara late yesterday. He'll come on the show shortly.
Yes.
Unlikely to run again before she leaves for England in late May and then heads towards Royal Ascot. So she is a very, very good filly, Jim. 7 wins from 10 starts, 3 Group 1s.
By Fastnet Rock from the Broken Shore.
Which is Reduced Choice Family on the dam side, so you don't get a better breed horse.
There you go, absolutely. Yeah. So we can look forward to that as well. 1353 53.
Hey, just a quick one, Jim. Yes. From Eagle-Eyed Phil. Jimmy, yes. Isako didn't propel the ball towards his opponent's try line, therefore was not a knock-on. The finish of the game was lame, however. That was what a number of people were saying to you on social media.
Phil.
But it is a knock-on every other time of the day, isn't it, these days?
Which time do you not want to make it a knock-on? And, Phil, the problem with that, when you slow it down and you do all that and the ball's going backwards, he knocks it forward from him, right? He drops the ball
forward. Because he's going backwards.
But because he's going backwards and the ball goes backwards, just not as far as it was going backwards previously, he knocks the ball forward of him. It's a knock-on. And that's okay because referees make mistakes. But the thing that even upset me more was then we get the National Rugby League, the referee's boss, coming out and defending his brothers. And no transparency around that. 1353 is the open line number. Hi, boys. Love listening to your show. Do you think Kevin will call Thurston and or Cronk for an Origin decider if they're desperate with injury and player, etc. Just like many years ago, Bennett called Alfie to the rescue.
Think it could happen?
Absolutely it could happen. Absolutely. Perfect setup. You know what the worst thing is? Game three, where's it being played?
Is it in Brisbane?
Yeah. Guess whose last game of Origin is going to be?
Well, it could be JT's if he comes back for it.
Well, Billy Slater set up for him. They've done it again. They've set it up so they've got one of their all-time great players leaving. It'll be 1-1.
JT, we need you.
Yeah. Oh, it's
this is from EJ. Good morning, Jimmy and Ray. Near misses. Hayne to Brett Morris.
Oh.
Origin game 2, 2007. It still gives me nightmares. Could have been the series, couldn't it?
Can you imagine Laurie Daly?
Oh, he'd still be coaching them.
Can you imagine Laurie Daly, what he thinks now about that pass or non-pass from Jared Hayne?
He'd still be coaching the Blues this year, wouldn't he?
Undoubtedly. Mm. There's a completely different narrative that comes out of all of that. Near misses. This comes in from Andrew on Twitter. Near misses. Two words. Tom Melbourne. Second again. Ray, I had in my notes here. Ray, Tom Melbourne ran second.
Lovely ride, Corey Brown gave him every possible chance. I thought, hang on, Tom might win today. No, it just doesn't find
really, if there is an embodiment of today's talk topic, Tom Melbourne.
He's won over $1 million for running second, pretty much.
I know, it's fantastic. However, he's run second again. 1353 53, that's the open line number. Get us on the SMS as well, 0419 767 272. We're taking a break here on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. We'll be back with more.
G'day, Laurie Daly here. Ever wanted to know what's going on in an NRL player's head? Well, now the Tab app gives you exclusive tips, insights and analysis this NRL season, thanks to new NRL previews featuring myself. So get ahead of the game every game this footy season.
Download the Tab app and access new NRL previews today. Tab, we love a bet. Tab previews available for account holders only. Gamble responsibly.
Another quick success story about radio. A marketer needed to promote a cruise. It was a big cruise. She heard that 1 in 3 people respond to a radio presenter endorsement. So she got some radio presenters to go on a cruise to give an endorsement. The presenters had fun. Their audience heard the fun and followed it online. 1 in 3 listeners decided they should check out a cruise too.
Told you.
Soon the big empty ship was a big full ship. All thanks to radio. Alive with personalities, alive with engagement. Visit radioalive.com.au.
Ricky Fowler, Ricky Fowler, Ricky Fowler. Ricky Fowler from 24 feet, 3 inches. And if anybody out there is keeping score.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray, 7:32 on your Sunday morning. Jim, we haven't mentioned, overnight in London, news is breaking. Sir Alex Ferguson has undergone emergency surgery for a brain hemorrhage. It reported the procedure has gone well, so we wish Sir Alex Ferguson all the best. Only a few days ago, he was there with Arsene Wenger on the sidelines with Wenger's last game, wasn't he?
Yeah, hope everything's okay there. One of the legendary figures. If
immortal.
Not the most legendary figure.
As a manager, he's none bigger, is he?
No, I don't think so. I don't think in the history of English Premier League.
Yeah, he'd be up there.
Longevity, success.
Longevity particularly.
Quotability. Yeah, everything. Got it all. 1353 53, the open line number. Let's get to callers now. We're talking about near misses. Blind Freddy is on the line. G'day, Blind Freddy.
Morning, boys. How are you going?
Really
morning,
well.
Freddy.
Mate, the most potent one was Benny Elias in the 89 Grand.
Oh, yeah. Brilliant.
Hit the crossbar. I was in tears at the Barradine Bowling Club. My second one was a horse, Ray, you know, he's a chestnut horse with a white blaze. Greg Hall rode him. He ran second to Might and Power in the Melbourne Cup.
Doremus.
That's him, Doremus. I was on him.
Oh, yeah. Greg Hall, 41 too.
But the third and final one was a horse called Happy Old Bloke in the Burke Song in the mid-90s. He was home for all money. The jockey sat up for the photo and he got nailed right on the line by a horse called Mobile something or other.
And you were on,
on them too.
We owned him, mate.
Oh.
Had to almost sell the house to pay the bookie, but there might be near misses.
Doremus ended up winning a Melbourne Cup, though.
He won in 95 at Caulfield Melbourne Cups, but lost that 97 Caulfield Melbourne Cup to Might and Power both times.
Yeah,
so.
When I saw
Greg Hall celebrating, I thought, we're home.
Yeah.
I was almost lining up at the bag to get me money.
Yeah, no.
It's amazing what you see, Blind Freddy.
Thanks, boys. Have a great day.
Good on you, mate. You too.
I've
got double asterisks next to Blind Freddy.
You ever see that famous vision of Devon Locke? I think it was a 1953 Grand National at Aintree.
Would
it
surprise you if I said no, Ray?
Okay.
Yeah.
Queen's horse. It was a mile in front.
Right.
Literally race where it jumped the last.
Yes.
It's all over. The Queen's about to win the Grand National.
Yes.
Devon Locke just went, sat down. Just sat down.
Is that right?
The jockey almost fell off. He just literally sat down mid-stride. It's the most extraordinary thing. No one knows to this day what Devon Locke was doing.
So if Betty Windsor rings this morning and says, Devon Locke, she's
what
a chance. What's our prize for this morning either, by the way? Do we have any more caps or have you given them all away?
I'm working on that, yeah. We have run out of caps, but I'm working on that. Yeah.
Okay, you're working on that.
Yeah.
So what we're going to give you today is something that Ray's working on. 1353 53, it's the open line number. Can Jared Mullins come back now? Where is he? That's from Sean Dog. Don't think Jared Mullins will be coming back. I think he got
4 years, didn't he? Yeah.
Two years or four years?
Yeah.
Four. There you go. Here we go. This is what we're giving away this morning. Elvis Presley, The Searcher.
Foreigner. Wow.
Foreigner. Foreigner, wow. Give us one of Foreigner's songs, Ray.
You Know What Love Is or something. What's it called?
Don't You Know What
that's
Love
it.
Is?
Yeah, that's it.
There you go. And a bit of Van Morrison, Van the Man.
Not a big Van fan, but I think producer Steve is by the sounds of things.
So there we go. Courtesy of Sony Music, that's what we're giving away.
There's Devon Locke.
You've just seen it on...
I caught up on YouTube for you.
They're on YouTube. All right, I'll have a look at that. Probably not during our radio show, Ray, but anyway, 1353 53. The open line number, Ron's there. G'day, Ron.
Morning, Ray.
Hey, good morning, Ron.
Yeah, and Jimmy too.
Hey, Ron.
That Devon Locke, it didn't sit down right. Knelt down as if it was going to be knighted by the Queen.
Just watching it now, it's still...
That answers your question, though.
It's staggering, isn't it, Ron, what he did? Anyway, what do you got for us, Ron?
I just got the near misses.
Yeah.
Oh, mate, it'll always haunt me. 54-55, Caulfield Melbourne Cup doubles.
Rising fast.
Oh,
should have won both, is that what you're saying?
The first two?
Yeah.
Ran second in the, won the Caulfield Cup, 55. Mm. 55 in the Melbourne Cup. Top of Raft flattened it in the straight. The lightweight, ridden by Sherwood.
Yep.
It ran fair up. It was gaining ground with, about 10 stone on its back. And didn't make it. And, mate, Sherwood got 6 months suspension.
Yeah, I think it was 3 months, I think, by memory, Ron. But
normally people exaggerate, Ray. You cut them in half. but isn't that funny? And on suspensions, apart from when Raymond Shane Dye protested 14th against first, or
it was. Did he really?
I don't know.
He did protest once.
Was it 14th against first?
Well, it wasn't quite 14th. I did a rave in. It was about 7th against first. But
right.
Is it some sort of thing where you don't... I'd hate to see a Melbourne Cup decided on a protest. But you very rarely hear about a protest in a Melbourne Cup, if any.
Actually, Shane Dye did protest once. It was on
Shiva's
Revenge. Shiva's Revenge against Let's Elope, 1991. Bart Cummings trained them both, and there was that famous Bart quote, I can't lose the protest.
There you go.
And the second near miss, poor old Abby McCulloch, who was on last week.
Yes.
Two netball grand finals, beaten by one goal. And then she was in a third one and they got beaten.
But she was outstanding last week. She got the intercept.
She got the revenge last week. Well, I know it's only round one, but against the Firebirds, 1 point win.
And she got the intercept, but she got the ball back up.
And of course,
she
spoke to us the morning of the game, which was fantastic. We did appreciate this. Here's another one. Bone Crusher's near miss in the 86 Cox Plate in that epic duel all the way down the Moonee Valley Straight with our Waverley star. And Ken Rosewell's many near misses at Wimbledon. Not winning either a singles or a doubles title.
Mm. Well,
Eddie from Glenfield.
Bone Crush actually won. He did edge out our Waverley star. And Ken Rosewell, I remember that 1974 Wimbledon win. Everyone thought he'd finally win it. And Jimmy Connors went 6-1, 6-1, 6-4.
Mm.
Thanks for coming, Ken. Your era's over. It was sad.
This comes in from no name on it. You mean, I want to know what love is.
That's it.
Clowns.
Something like that. Yeah. That's it.
Fantastic, yeah. I don't, is that,
what
sorry,
did you say?
Hang
what,
on, is
what,
that,
what did you say?
Don't you know what love is?
we give poor clowns a seat.
Hang on. Is his name Clowns, or is he saying we're clowns?
Probably a bit of both.
We'll I just need a bit of clowns.
He needs
so, all right,
him.
Clowns, we're sending you out
of
CD.
No, you're in charge of the prize giveaways. I sacked myself, so...
Well, hang on.
Did you want to give him a CD? Oh, him or
imagine
her.
Imagine saying no now. Oh, yes, Ray, I would like to give he or her a CD, courtesy of Sony Music.
Or the foreigner one, not even the foreigner one.
Yeah, that's the one we should give him, because of that song.
And
don't
we will.
Don't you know what love is?
I've got the film clip in my head now.
1853. Doug is on the line. Hello, Doug.
G'day, Jimmy. G'day, Ray. How are you all?
Good morning,
Doug.
Very
well, mate.
Morning, Ray. I was talking about the near misses where Canterbury got robbed by that disallowed penalty.
Which one? You're talking about Moses Embiid when he put his hand on...
Yeah, exactly right, yeah.
It was innocuous, but it was a penalty.
Yeah, and the near misses is when Jonathan Thurston.
Yes,
the field goal the second time, and the second time he got it.
Well, he had the shot at goal, the conversion attempt.
In the grand final, yeah.
Hit the post.
Yeah.
And they went to golden point, and then he got the field goal. So near misses. I guess you could say near misses for the Brisbane Broncos. There you go. There you go. Good one, Dougie.
You've got a good station there, mate. Radio station, the best one in the sports.
Well, we can't take credit for the entire station. However, what goes to air on a Sunday morning, we can take credit for.
The good and the bad.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks,
a lot
Doug.
Of people have their own thoughts on what goes to air
exactly.
on a Sunday morning. Funnily enough, Ray differs from what you and I think. But anyway, that's radio for you. 1353 53 is the open line number. By the way, Jared Mullen's ban ends the 17th of January 2021. He'll be 34 years of age. We will not be seeing Jared Mullen back in the National Rugby League.
This is from Polly. Hi, Tanya, Ray and Jim. If you want to change the culture of the Australian cricket team, then one consistent message from one coach. I agree with the one coach across all three forms of the game at this important stage of the national team. Regards, Polly.
P.S. Take as much money off Zorba on today's game, Jimmy. Go to Roosters. Surely.
Are you going
up
there today, the Roosters game? Or?
No, I'm working.
Dragons, you cover, eh?
Yeah. Surely he's not going to tip Manly today. Come on, Zorb, you're kidding yourself.
Fighting back from adversity, the Seagulls.
Have they still got a coach? Is he?
He's hanging in there.
Is there any word on that?
Yeah, he's staying there.
He's not going anywhere. We'll get some clarification on that. 1353-53.
It's Volkswagen's end of financial year sale with incredible drive-away deals.
Oh, yeah?
Get the Amarok Core 4x4 Auto from $41,990 drive-away.
Yeah?
Or the Amarok V6 Sportline Turbo Diesel Auto from $52,990 drive-away.
Yeah?
Plus the Amarok V6 Highline Turbo Diesel Auto from $58,990 drive-away.
Yeah.
So head into your local Volkswagen dealer today. Don't miss out on the end of financial year sale. Conditions at volkswagen.com.au.
Attention ladies, Dynamic Syndications with Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott proudly offer this ladies-only ownership syndicate. Bred to be early and quick, we have a superb colt to aim at the rich Magic Millions women's bonus. By Rubik, a two-year-old speed machine, now exciting new sire. From Balloons, also a two-year-old winner. At only $5.95 a share, sorry boys, this is just for the ladies. For info, visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 33-6808.
It's English and Phil Sweet fighting it out. Chautauqua very late. It's English a half length in front. Can he do it? Chautauqua, he's flying. Yes, there's history. Chautauqua makes it three in a row. That is unbelievable.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres. At Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray. Jimmy, this one's from Tom. Jimmy, based on what you just said about the knock-on from Thursday, they need to change the definition of a knock-on in the laws to mean knocking the ball in front of the player, no matter what direction he is facing. If a player is running towards his own try line and drops the ball in front of him, is that a knock-on?
No, of course it's not. No, it's going backwards. But so you need to find the wording. I've had a little time to think about this, Tom, but not enough to find the wording that says he was facing his opponent's try line and he knocked the ball forward of him.
That's a knock-on, isn't it?
That's a knock-on, right?
Yeah.
So I think everyone bar Bernard, Chris and Jared Sutton agree that on Friday night, and a few people on social media agree that it's a knock-on on Thursday night. How do we find the wording? But the problem is with this, you get bogged down into all this wording and it gives people an out and it just gets messy.
And conversely, if it was called a knock-on, as it probably should have been on the night, there'd be no contention whatsoever.
Not
about
a word.
It now.
Not None. A word. Nothing would, have, nothing would have
Correct.
Had to have been said. They wouldn't have pulled out the vision that
Correct.
When the ball was going backwards and said, look,
because
we got it
everyone
wrong.
Everyone accepted it was a knock-on.
That's right.
We'll move on. Hey, I tell you what, Jim, this was no fluke about our century's win yesterday. Three wide the entire, just a superior stay. And I think Kim Waugh's picked up a really nice horse or two off Lloyd Williams in recent weeks, and she's been good enough to join us this morning. Kim, good morning. And, gee, it was tough our century.
Yeah, morning, Ray. How are you, Jimmy?
Hey, Kim.
He drew a very tricky barrier 10, and there didn't look like there was a lot of pace inside of it, so just barring the leader, the day four. So I just left it to Jason to sort it out because it was very tricky. So he was three wide for the first half of the race, nearly. Jason said he was very relaxed there, and he was just trying to get across nice and steady, which he did. But coming around the home turn, I thought, if he runs in the top four, I'm still going to be very happy. He's done it tough, but, wow, it was pretty impressive when he threw away the last furlong.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. So based on that then, when you start talking about distances that you think our century can get to, Kim, has it changed the way you've been thinking about that?
Look, he's run over 2,800.
Right.
So I'm not really worried about any distance he's going to be going to at this preparation. He'll be either going to do the Cup in 2 weeks, or he'll stay here and go Mackell Cup in 3 weeks.
Okay.
So, he's just a lovely horse. He's a really lovely horse to do anything with. He's very laid back. He's all the things you want in a good stayer.
Kim, that's interesting because he's a 7-year-old rising 8-year-old by Australian time. What was it? Yeah, what was it about this horse? And also, can you help us? Is it Goathland or Goatland? What was it about?
Goathland is a place apparently in Ireland.
Right.
Ah.
Not the nicest name, but when you know it doesn't mean goat.
Yeah.
It's actually Goathland.
Okay.
It's a village or some sort of place in Ireland. So.
What was it about both of them, Kim? Because they're not young horses. They've been tried. They're relatively lightly raced. But what was it about both of them that convinced you and Mark that this is worth an investment?
Well, when we went down there, we looked at both their forms and they were pretty impressive. And I wasn't worried about their age because in England, everything starts a lot later than us. They don't race these stayers as 2-year-olds, and they do everything, break them in later, very lightly raised. I mean, age is just a number, and they were still very competitive and hadn't had any major injuries. Their joints look beautiful, very clean. You could just see they're very well looked after. So it's hard not to buy them.
Both Ray and I agree with you. Age is just a number, Kim. very hard to syndicate a horse.
More so me than you, yeah.
Very hard to syndicate a horse when you say, look, I want you to buy a goat too, so we understand why it's goat there.
It gets a little bit confusing.
It does, doesn't it? So when you went down there to Macedon Lodge, did you have a number of horses that you looked at, or was it only these two that you looked at? How did that play out?
A couple of others as well.
Right.
But these were the two. We actually only went by one, to be quite honest. But I was really keen on Century as well as Goathland. So we had a little chat on the way back to the airport and let's just buy them. Let's just buy them. So Mark rang Lloyd and said, you know, can we take the two? He said, yeah, you can take them all if you want. Well, we'd love to, Lloyd, but we haven't got that much money.
Yeah. So
we actually syndicated them very easily.
Right.
Yeah. And we most probably should have bought a couple more.
Well, just looking at the syndication, Australian Bloodstock's in there, Mr. M.E. Waugh's in there, Mr. F.P. Lawler, Mr. B. McCullum is in there. I also note the name Mr. D.W. Barham, and for those people who might note that David Barham is the former boss of cricket on Channel 10, who's just been employed by Channel 7 to run their cricket broadcast over the next 6 years. Are you in some way, Kim Waugh, ensuring that your husband, Mark, has a job over the next 6 years?
You knew he was going somewhere with this, didn't you, Kim?
I'm ensuring, definitely doing that.
Well, that's very smart of you. Well done.
That's clever play, yeah. Well, look, they're both lovely horses, Kim, and I think their last start wins are not the last we'll hear of them. The stable's flying too, Kim. I think your last four runners have all won, and I think it's 16 of the last 50, so congratulations with that. And
thanks, Ray.
Yeah, look, thanks for joining us this morning, Kim, and we hope to get you on again after our century wins the Doombin or Brisbane Cup.
That'd be lovely.
Okay.
Great job, Kim.
Thanks, Kim. Thanks, Kim.
Kim Waugh there, trainer of our century. Goathland.
There we go. In Ireland.
We knew it was the case all along, but we wanted to have some fun with
Ireland,
that. Goathland. So there you go. But our century, the winner yesterday in the Australian Bloodstock colours as well, 1353. 53 is the open line number.
Silence Edition going to first seal. Dixie Blossom's first play. They're heading top gear now. Fox Play and Dixie Blossom's. Zambar with the last shot. Fox Play hits the lead from the fast finishing Zambar, and Fox Play takes it out.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray. Bjorn Baker's filly, Champagne Cuddles, made her comeback to racing yesterday. She was outstanding up at the Gold Coast. Bjorn's been good enough to join us this morning. Bjorn, good morning. And a couple of things struck me yesterday. One, she's so determined. And two, she's come back better than ever, run sensational time. You're entitled to think big now with Champagne Cuddles, Bjorn.
Yeah, morning, guys. Haven't heard from you for a while.
But you've been overseas,
hey,
haven't
nice
you?
Nice to hear from you.
You've been overseas, haven't you, mate? Chasing Dubai riches and that?
Oh, no. Actually, this day last year, I was at the Kentucky Derby. I'm just watching it. It looks like it's similar weather, pretty wet.
Yeah.
So I'd love to be back there. But, no, it was great. She went super. She's always showing a lot. And she's very professional too. She just puts herself in a good spot and finishes off. So exciting times. I think she's we get to see the best of her. So I'm not too sure from here where we go. The possibility for the Kingsford Smith in 3 weeks, or possibly the 3-year-old race. I think the Fred Best, which would get her into the Stradbroke. So we'll just see how she comes through and maybe look at both races initially.
Just to let you know, we have been on every Sunday morning subsequent to our chat with you previously, so it's your fault, not ours, that you haven't been on the program.
You'll hang up on us now, poor fella.
No need to that, Jimmy.
Exactly. He's a hard man, isn't he, Bjorn? Very hard man.
Too tough to tattoo.
The thing about the horse, Champagne Cuddle, so the form line's been very strong when you look at it through the Golden Roads and through the Flight Stakes, though, Bjorn. So that's showing you that the horse is there or thereabouts.
Yeah, for sure, and that gives you a lot of, I guess, the way she come back and was working, I was very confident, and then you look at the form around her, particularly with Trapeze Artist, Elise, and even horses like Catchy and Tulip have done a marvellous job. So she was always going to be very competitive in a race like that yesterday, I was hoping, but YPO is a very good horse as well.
Yeah.
So she had to run him down, so it was a big effort.
It was a fantastic effort. So surgery after the previous prep, what was the issue there with Champagne Cuddles?
Oh, she just had a little fetlock chip that had to come out. So, and it might be a blessing in disguise, it means she had a bigger break. And in the autumn, the race was very hard as well. So I think she's going to get a good chance to get over the winter.
Yeah, she's definitely one to follow. Bjorn, almost a stakes double. Test the World tried very hard. Anatole was just too quick for her, but there's a good race in Test the World this prep.
Yeah, she's just been unlucky to run into a horse that's flying the last two, and it was a great run. She sort of was probably out of her comfort zone the whole way. They went quick in that race as well. So she's got that black type, that important black type, so that's a good start. And she's super consistent, so we'll just have a look at the calendar and probably go for another listed race or stake race over 1350 or 1400.
Yeah, a couple of nice horses. And Ben, if I could, before we let you go, there's one emerging young sprinter I've really caught my eye, Prime Candidate, won again during week at Wyong, and he's 3 from 4 and just goes about his business really professionally. Prime Candidate.
He does, and he's a pretty laid-back customer, so he's hard to get a guide on. He takes a fair bit to get fit, but he's doing a good job. He'll probably race midweek in Sydney in a couple of weeks. I think we've got him in a 12:50 race. But, he, of course, he's a half to cool ring. He won on the same day.
That's
and he's going well. So I think the best is yet to come from him.
Just on Champagne Cuddles, you win a 1,200-metre race in record time and everyone starts talking the Everest. What's the horse need to do to find itself a potential slot holder win the Everest?
Have they got my number or the slot holder?
Mate, do you want us to broadcast it for you?
We'll just see what happens. It's we've got to get there and probably get through the next run or two. So, look, I'd like to think she'd be a chance to get in a race like that. I think she's got a great racing pattern. She can go forward or back, and I think she can handle any sort of tracks as well. I think she had one start in a heavy track. She won easily that day. So I think that's a big bonus as well when you're thinking about potential runners. And, of course, the Everest was initially conquered by Sir Edmund Hillary, which would be a New Zealander as well. So I think just going to add that on.
We knocked the bastard off.
That's it. That's what he said, wasn't
it? Yeah, he did. He did. fantastic. Good on you, mate. Great to have you on the program again. It's been too long. Not our fault, yours, but we'd love to have you on again soon.
Thanks, guys. Always great.
Thanks, Bjorn.
Bjorn Baker, a winner with Champagne Cuddles. And as we say, you get excited about the Everest, no matter what time of year it is, when you have a 1,200-metre win like that. Red Zell and Trapeze Artist, $5 equal favourites in her time, who had a gallop yesterday.
Yesterday at Broadmeadow, and they'll clash next week, Red Zell and In Her Time in the Doomben 10,000. So a little Everest preview there.
Excellent. $7 chance. Time now for the first time to say good morning to Tanya with the scratchings around New South Wales. Morning, Tan.
Morning, guys. Good morning, everyone. Racing, excuse me, after a great start. Racing in New South Wales today is at Dubbo and the Sapphire Coast. Starting with Dubbo, the weather is fine. The track a good 4. The rail is out 1 metre the entire circuit. Penetrometer 3.9 and we have 20 scratchings. Race 1, take out number 1, Axis. 10, Bossy Beryl, and 13, Goody's Gal, 1, 10, and 13. Race 2, number 3, This Will Do Us, and 9, Stars Don't Lie, 3 and 9. Out of race 3, number 5, Man Up Son, and 10, Waller Man, 5 and 10. Race 4, number 15, Miss Payton, and 16, 1 over 4, 15 and 16. To race 5, take out 3, Cinema Paradiso, and 14, Did You Hear Me, 3 and 14. Out of race 6, number 4, Captain Scott, 9, Ridit Home, 16, Jesse and James, and 17, Zatajiro, 4, 9, 16, and 17. Race 7 is clear, and race 8 takeouts 3, Got Nothing, 8, Trades Hall, 10, Dark Elixir, 11, Diamond Court, and 14, Tennessee Pasha, 3, 8, 10, 11, and 14 out of race 8 at Dubbo. Sapphire Coast, the weather is fine, the track a good 4, the rail is true, penetrometer 3.4 and 17 scratchings. Race 1, take out 3, it's Business Time, number 3. Race 2, number 1, Alf Star, 5, High Tail It, 12, You Know Eno, 16, Exceptional Rhythm, 17, Graceful Gift, and 18, Gaelic Bolt, 1, 5, 12, 16, 17, and 18. Race 3 is clear. Race 4, number 4, Bless Him, and 5, Bull Bailey, 4 and 5 out of the 4th. Race 5, take out 7, Lady Marionette, and 8, More Than Tears, 7 and 8. Race 6, number 2, Kianga, 16, Byron Gong, 17, Bitto Faster, and 18, Binji Striker, 2, 16, 17 and 18. And race 7, number 3, Fire Stoker and 5, Alpine King. 3 and 5 out of race 7 at the Sapphire Coast.
Thanks, Tan. Tips today, James.
Yes.
Dubbo, race 3, number 11, Bangkok. Down to race 8, number 6, Reprimand. And on to the Sapphire Coast. One of my main selections has been scratched there. So we'll just stick with race 4, number 1, for Oz.
For Oz. There you go. We'll put those tips down on social media as well. Just on that, we've got a few people trying to be funny when they do tweets like this. If you want to send a tweet at Big
Funny
Sports
or factual, WNB. James.
near misses from Andrew. Ray Thomas' tips on a Sunday. So it's been a bit of a lean trot. I usually get the text message whenever they win. And it has been quite a time.
Just long as you were backing, that was all. But lately we've...
I might have dropped off a little bit, Raymond. I've got to say, he won't drop off Zorba, but he's on again just after the news. We'll also have a chat with John Massara and the Event Cinemas quiz.
I'm Arthur Stevens. Unions are calling on the Turnbull government to think about Australian workers launching an all-out attack ahead of this week's federal budget. Severe doubts have been raised about the government's wage projections, while unemployment's barely moved and jobs have become increasingly insecure. ACTU Secretary Sally McManus says the government continues to ignore the challenges faced by ordinary workers while proposing massive tax cuts for big business.
Well, the Turnbull government's addicted to trickle-down economics. They believe if we give big business an $80 billion tax cut, that that's going to be good for all of us. And we just don't believe that that's the case because it hasn't been the case anywhere else in the world. So we believe actually you should make sure big business pays their fair share of tax because that money comes back to us, our schools, our hospitals and our pensions.
But that's been rebuffed by Finance Minister Matthias Cormann, who says high-income earners paying a larger portion of tax deserve to be rewarded for their efforts, but not ahead of low and middle-income earners. Mr. Cormann says those on incomes below $87,000 will be the government's main priority on Tuesday.
The government has made very clear that when it comes to personal income tax cuts, our first priority is to provide tax relief to low and middle income earners. I mean, that is obviously good for them and it's good for the economy, and the detail and the specifics will be part of the budget on Tuesday.
It's anticipated workers in the bottom two tax brackets will receive an immediate tax cut, while those earning above $180,000 a year may have to wait till 2024. On the nation's roads, it's been a bad night, with deaths so far reported in three states, Queensland, Victoria and New South Wales, with 9 dead. In Queensland, an 18-year-old man died after a car hit him as he walked on the Bagra Road at Bagra in coastal Bundaberg just after 1:30 this morning. He died at the scene. In Victoria, 4 women died in a crash at Nava, northwest of Avoca, around 6 last night, following a collision with another car on the Ararat Sonata Road. The car also ran off South Mountain Road at Heathcote Junction this morning, killing a man, while another man died after his car ran off the road at Bright late last night. In New South Wales, a 62-year-old man died after his motorcycle crashed at Quambone, northwest of Gallagambone, while a man died in a single-vehicle crash at Banks Meadow in Sydney South. Australia's oldest scientist, David Goodall, who wants to end his life with a voluntary-assisted dying program in Switzerland, must be judged to be of sound mind before the procedure can go ahead next week, according to the Life Cycle Clinic. The Swiss clinic says it's helped 73 people die over the past year. Professor Goodall, who doesn't have a terminal illness but whose quality of life has deteriorated at age 104, flew to France last Wednesday to visit family before dying in Switzerland on May 10th. Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny and hundreds of anti-Kremlin activists have been detained by police during street protests against Vladimir Putin ahead of his inauguration in a fourth term as president. Navalny had called for demonstrations in more than 90 towns and cities across Russia against what Navalny says is Putin's autocratic, czar-like rule. Putin overwhelmingly won re-election in March, extending his grip over Russia for 6 more years, a tenure of 24 years that would make him Moscow's longest-serving leader since Soviet dictator Joseph Stalin.
I'm here because I disagree with the politics that our government and our so-called president are leading. I want to tell him that he is not our czar and that his place is in The Hague and in prison.
This is Air News. Essendon's AFL season of great expectations is spiralling out of control fast. The Bombers remain the only team not to win a third quarter this year after Hawthorn easily beat them 13-12-90 to 10-7-67 in yesterday's scrappy match at the MCG. The margin flattered Essendon, who managed a 3-goal run in the last quarter to prevent a blowout. More telling was Hawthorn's 6-3 to a solitary rush behind in the third term. The third quarter is known as the Premiership Quarter, and Essendon have lost that period by a combined 136 points, emphasising how far they're off the Premiership pace. Coach John Worsfold was deadpan when asked if it could mess with their minds.
Some players will have nightmares, I reckon. They'll hear sirens and wake up in sweats thinking, I think that's the third sign I've heard. It must be three-quarter time. I don't know.
Other winners yesterday, Western Bulldogs, West Coast Eagles, North Melbourne and Adelaide. In league news, the loss of Wade Graham to a worrying hamstring injury soured Cronulla's heart-stopping 22-20 defeat of Parramatta. The Eels were on the cusp of what would have been one of the great modern comebacks after posting three tries in the final 5 minutes through David Gower, Michael Jennings and Mitchell Moses. And Moses had a conversion attempt after the siren to even the scores, but it sailed left of the uprights. In football, Melbourne Victory have snuffed out Newcastle's A-League fairy tale at the final hurdle, defeating the Jets 1-0 to win a record fourth A-League title. Costa Barbarossa scored the quickest ever grand final goal in the ninth minute to seal a controversial season finale, underscored by the video assistant referee's failure to pick up offside Victory players in the process. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you'll have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Cabernet Sauvignon by De Bortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
Want big deals at small prices? Head into IKEA Tempe Roads or Marsden Park or shop online now for unmissable savings. Don't miss out. See the offers at ikea.com.au. We've got delays to the airport, Mar Street, Airport Drive, both very heavy approaching the international terminal. In Seven Hills, one southbound lane on Prospect Highway at Station Road closed for emergency roadworks. And in the city, George Street closed between Margaret and Essex Streets for light rail all day today. Looking for that fairy tale home? Build your happily ever after with $30,000 free to spend on whatever upgrades you wish. Visit a Mojo Homes Display Centre today. T's and C's apply. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Ricebury.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
Pecans is just in front and Pecans won the crown.
Tricolours have enjoyed instant success with multiple group winner Pecans, and so could you. Tricolours offers quality bred yearlings under the care of some of our best trainers. Shares are available in yearlings by Inform Sires, Hinchinbrook, Star Witness, Your Song and More Than Ready, with leading trainers Joe Pride, Matt Smith and Mark Newnham. To learn more, visit tricolours.com.au. AFSL 336
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney's weather today, sunny, is a chance of some morning smoke, haze or fog, mainly in the west, but light winds throughout the day. There's 0% chance of any rain, which is the good news. They're heading for a top temperature of 23 degrees, a perfect mid-autumn day. James, what about at Sydenham? What's the current temperature there and down on the lovely Sapphire Coast?
The current temperature of half of what the expected max is right now.
Correct.
So it's 11 degrees, expected max of 22 degrees. Down there at the Sapphire Coast, it's a sunny day and a maximum temperature of 22 degrees.
Space, look out, Sean Thompson's got space.
Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. Big hour coming up very shortly. We'll speak to Zorba, John Massara, after the victory of Shoals yesterday in the Group 1 over in Adelaide. We'll have the events in him as quiz. We'll speak to Tom Magna. He's over at the Kentucky Derby and we'll hear the Kentucky Derby. So all that coming up this hour. But we're talking about near misses today, Raymond, after Mitchell Moses' near miss down there at Southern Cross Group Stadium. Near misses, magnificent horse, Red Cadeau, second in the 13 and 14 Melbourne Cups. Then the tragic loss of life. And then me, for nearly getting a cap, Michelle from Dubbo. No cap for you.
Oh, really? That would happen. And someone had to bring up the King, Kingston Town.
Of course.
Miracle Mel in the 82 Cup. Still cringe to this day, said Howard from Port Macquarie. So do I, Howard. So close yet so far. Jim, this is an important. This is from Hunter Tiger. Hey, guys, how are you going? If Moses Mbai gets sin-binned for what he did to Darius Bennett. Oh, Darius Boy.
Yes, yes.
Why the hell did Blake Green not get sin-binned yesterday?
I didn't see that incident.
Neither do I, no. And yes, Jimmy, players make mistakes too, but referees don't make 25 tackles, 15 hit-ups, up and off the ground. up and back in defence, the referees only have to keep the eye on the play.
Yes, but they make 6,000 discretionary decisions through the course of a game.
Mm.
So you expect them to get a few wrong, but you don't mind them putting their hand up and saying they got it wrong, which might lead us directly into Zorba's first point. Actually, before we get to Zorba's first point that he wants to talk about, I want to talk about the passing of the legendary Cliff Watson. So we'll say good morning to Zorb. G'day, Zorb.
Good morning, Ray. Good morning, Jimmy. Yeah, Cliffy Watson, what a great guy. I only spoke to him around about 6 months ago.
Is that right?
I love Cliffy Watson. I didn't love playing against him. One of the toughest men I've ever seen on a football field. And it was 45 years ago in September that I played in the grand final against him. And I'll never forget running onto the field and the tension in that game. I know that, you know, I know how I was feeling, and Cronulla had already been on the field for a few minutes, and the first sight I saw was leaning against the upright at the Paddington end of the field was Cliff Watson, like he was just standing there waiting for just a normal game to begin. And his clash with John O'Neill in that game, two of the toughest men ever to play rugby league, and both have sadly passed. And it's incredible, Ray and Jim, about 4 weeks ago, I got an email from out of nowhere from a 14-year-old boy who was Cliff Watson's godson. Mm. And he asked me, he was doing a school project, and would I give him some information on what I thought of Cliffy Watson. And I did that with great pride. And to that young fellow and to the Watson family, they made their home in Australia after Cliffy came out to play with Tommy Bishop, and my deepest sympathies go to them.
Yeah, well said, Zorb.
Yeah, well said. But hey, Pete, just quickly on Cliff then, a lot is obviously made of how tough he was and the enforcer-type role he played, and he's legendary for that. But as a footballer, can you give us an insight into Cliff Watson, the footballer?
Oh, well, he could unload like no one else, you know, in pressure situations. And scrums were scrums then as well. And, you know, he answered an ad in the paper. He was a rugby union player just outside of his home in St Helens. And he answered he was a coal miner. He answered an ad in the London Times for professional rugby league players. And that's how he started the game. And within 6 months, he was playing for England.
Yeah, great story. All right, let's get to modern matters. Dean Pay, I think, I hate when the coaches go out and use the referees as a crutch. I understand why Dean was upset, but you think, where's the fine?
Oh, he's got to be fined. He can't. He didn't leave anything to chance. And I get the impression that the board members there said, listen, go for your life. We'll back you up. $20,000, $10,000, whatever it's going to be. But you just can't do it. And he's entertaining to watch coaches box, isn't he? He dies a thousand deaths. Oh, yeah. He's going to age pretty quick. He's 8 weeks into his NRL career as a coach. He needs to check out what he can and can't say, though. But, you know, his first fine is on its way, and then he'll be a bona fide coach. They're not going too bad, the Bulldogs. Like, they're going better than sides above them, I reckon, and only two wins. I'll get some wins shortly, and they're not far from it. They got two lucky tries on that really shifting surface. We're used to the 15 playing surface at Suncorp.
Yeah.
It was like a potato patch the other night, on Thursday night, and we saw two mistakes in retrieving kicks by Jack Bird and also by their skipper. At the back, Darius Boyd.
Yep.
And they both led the tries to the Bulldogs. So I reckon they were lucky tries. But the sin binning, I don't think the referee had any choice in that. But I am starting to worry about the sin binning for the for being offside in front of your post. Yeah. I thought that game last night was spoiled in Auckland. It was a real contest. But two players from the Tigers and one from the Warriors being sent. But it's just too big a price to pay. 10 minutes is a long time to be one man short, and the Warriors exploited that. Blake Green's going to kill you doing that, and he did last night. They exploited the one man extra both times and caught the the Tigers out, who have hit a bit of a rough patch. I think they'll come back from it. I think they're a better side than they were last year, and that great start won't be for nothing. But I just think there's too much discretion for some. Like, there's no set rule on the sin binning.
Yeah.
You know, like, the warning was before in the first half, and then early in the second half, first infringement, off he went, and the captain said, well, hang on, we didn't get a warning. He said, I gave it to you before half-time. Ben Cummings, I thought, didn't handle that game all that well for an experienced referee, and I think that those incidents had a massive effect on the game. Don't like it at all.
Yeah, we were talking earlier, Jimmy and I, about the sin binning and how it can have such an influence on the outcome of the game. Just back to the playing surfaces, Saul. I know Jimmy talked to social media on Thursday night about the playing surface and the Broncos-Bulldogs game, but what about Brookie? Is there concerns there?
Well, they've had it checked out, and it's come through with a pass. I noticed the rugby played there last night.
Yeah.
Be interesting to see if they have any complaints. Look, Brookie's been Brookie for... it hasn't changed since Jimmy and I played there.
Yeah.
And I played there a lot earlier than Jimmy. So, like, it's not up to the modern day standards, and something needs to be done. There's no doubt about it. I love having the club that I love play out of there, but it's not up to standard. Way from it.
Is Manly for sale, Zorb?
Well, anything's for sale, I understand. Look, it's got nothing to do with me. It's my family that own the club. But look, everything's got a price. But I whenever I speak to them, there's no signs of that. But it's interesting that there's some people circling, by all accounts, whether they're bona fide or not, I don't know.
Right. Well, that was going to be my question. Is there legitimacy to Kaspersky boss Harry Chung and a Qatari bid that we're reading about today? Is there any legitimacy to those bids?
I'd say Kaspersky are 100-1.
Right.
Because of things that happened in the past.
Right.
I can't see that ever happening. Don't know about if there's oil money behind the bid from Qatar, then obviously the Penn family would have to look at it. But I know Rick and Scott and Heather and Mark all want to leave a good legacy. They'd like to see Brookvale up and be a modern boutique stadium before they walked away, and if they could leave it in better hands, then they would.
Mm. The other thing that I think took a lot of people by surprise, a lot of people close to Trent Barrett, is that he didn't walk during the week. You mentioned last week how close you thought he was at different stages. How close do you think did he get this week?
Oh, I don't think it was close at all. I think it was a massive setup. I mean, how many times do you suddenly see a camera appear when a player's going in to see a lawyer? I mean, they knew exactly where Trent was with his manager, Wayne Beavis. Wayne's been around a long time, and he's pretty good at that sort of thing. I think it was a blatant setup to force the club into a situation. I didn't take any notice of it, because as soon as I saw it on television, I said, well, this is a setup. Been around too long to swallow that one, Jimmy.
and so just on that, no COO, no recruitment officer, no football manager?
Well, there was a recruitment officer. Manly won the Matthews Shield yesterday. They were in the grand final last year in it. They won the under-20s last year for the first time. This is the first time they've won the Matthews Shield. Our junior reps have never been better. And
so is that Scott Fulton?
That's Scott Fulton. Done a great job there.
So why was Peter O'Sullivan interviewed during the week?
Well, I don't know. And that's nothing to do with me in the club. But I just want to say what a great job young Scott's done. And we've got some of the most talented young players coming through of anybody in the NRL. I mean, for Manly to be Parramatta, when you look at their junior league and how many players they've got to pick from, in a game like that, is just an enormous effort. Full marks to the kids and their coaching staff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, Zorb, back to the footy. South Sydney 36, Newcastle 18. I thought South were again very good. They're 5-3. They've got a great attacking brand of footy this season. They're great to watch.
Yes.
Kalyn Ponga again outstanding for the Knights.
Oh, how good is he and how good can he be?
Yeah.
He's had 17 games in the NRL. Round 3 last year, I watched him as a skinny fullback for the Cowboys against Manly, and he's not a skinny fullback anymore.
Mm.
Fast forward 12 months, he's a genuine superstar in the making, a special player, especially with a ball in his hands. He's a genius. Mm. His long passing is spot on, his short passing to put players through gaps, that doesn't normally come until you've been in the NRL for 100 games. This kid, as I said, 17th game he was playing. He puts his teammates into open space for tries, exciting runner. He's a good defender. He's good under the high ball. In a beaten side, 36-18 they were beaten. He was just sensational. And, gee, you've got to look at him for a possible Dally M winner.
Well, he's leading the comp at the moment. And you would have thought he might have got some points on Friday night. I didn't see who was covering that one. The other one...
We know who wasn't covering it.
No, we know who wasn't covering. And, look, this is an interesting one. I was talking about this to someone yesterday and with Ruan Sims, and you know, people say yay and nay. And
I applaud her courage for coming out and saying, look, I made a bad mistake. I'm stepping down.
However, she did the wrong thing. She did the wrong thing.
And she's admitted to it.
And she's admitted to it, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
She's done the right thing in that regard.
You got some news on the Raiders for us?
Yeah, look, I'm hearing, and it's amazing, that the big men are commanding big dollars now. The Raiders props, Junior Paulo, Shane Boyd, both up. They're prime beef at the moment. The Raiders want to retain both players, but they're not going to get into a price war, and they're not going to be able to afford them. They're struggling in the face of huge offers. Parramatta have offered $800,000 for Junior Paulo a season, and the Titans are just under $750,000 for Shannon Boyd. Now, that's a lot of money for those big fellas.
Well, I have it. I heard during the week that he had knocked back the final offer from the Canberra Raiders, Shannon Boyd. Said it wasn't up to the mark. So he was almost game changing yesterday. He was fantastic.
He was good, and against the side that he'll probably be joining. So he probably said, "Hey boys, put another $50,000 on."
Absolutely. Absolutely. You've seen players do that before.
Raiders are going good, aren't they? Four out of five now.
They've turned it around, haven't they?
They've got two of the next three games at home, and the other one is in Mudgee. So they'll like that, and they'll get good support there. They're building up. Don't forget they've got Josh Hodgkin to come back well before the finals.
Yes.
And the hooker that's in there at the moment is doing a good job for them. So they're not missing Hodgson as much as we thought they might, but he'll be great to come back in with probably a half a dozen games under his belt before the finals if they can make it.
Two fascinating games today. Dragons, Melbourne, Roosters, Manly. Where are you going for your Zappa?
I'm going St George Illawarra 1-12 and Gareth Widdop to be the first point scorer in the game with a penalty goal. They'll take it and they'll lead 2-0 over Melbourne. So I'm not going anywhere near the Roosters and the Seagulls. All I'll say is that Manly have great records against two clubs in the NRL. They are the Warriors, who they've got the mock on, and the next one is the Roosters, who they've beaten five out of their last six, but we'll have to pull our socks up today. And can't wait for you guys to bring us the Kentucky Derby. It's a bog over there, as you know. 45 years ago, Secretariat won in record time, 1:59.25 of a second, and Manly beat Cronulla in the grand final. Great year.
Good on you, Zorb.
Very good.
Done your homework.
Good on you, Zorb. Appreciate that. We'll speak next week.
See you, boys.
Thanks, Pete.
There he is, Peter Peters, his thoughts on the world of rugby league. Give us your thoughts on his thoughts. 1353-53, that open line number. We'll take a break now. We'll be back with more shortly.
G'day, Laurie Daly here. Ever wanted to know what's going on in an NRL player's head? Well, now the Tab app gives you exclusive tips, insights and analysis this NRL season, thanks to new NRL previews featuring myself. So get ahead of the game every game this footy season.
Download the Tab app and access new NRL previews today. Tab, we love a bet. Tab previews available for account holders only. Gamble responsibly.
It's Cheval Grand! Cheval Grand!
The only place to catch the very best equine superstars from around the globe, first time, every time, is right here. Live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
Penrith Mazda, awarded Mazda Master Dealer for 2017, where you're sure to get the best deal during their end of financial year clearance. With over 300 cars in stock and more than 50 utes in the ute centre, you're spoiled for choice. The end of financial year clearance at Penrith Mazda, your family owned and operated Mazda dealer. Mulgile Road, Penrith, just off the M4, MD18808.
And here comes the Tonu Diamond and Cheval Grand. Kittison Black by two, starting to shorten stride. Cheval Grand Satono Diamond. Kittison Black still leads. Satono trying to get there. Kittison Black, Satono Diamond, Cheval Grand. Kittison Black holds on and goes back to back.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Well, Shoals, Jim. 10 starts, 7 wins, 2 seconds, 3 group 1s, absolutely dominant in the Robert Sangster Stakes at Morphettville yesterday. She's almost the most underrated filly in Australia. We'll ask the part owner, John Massara, what he thinks. He probably doesn't care. She was very good yesterday. John, good morning. And is it true that Shoals seems to sort of fly under the radar a bit? John, good morning.
Good morning, gents. How are you today? How are you all?
Terrific.
Very well.
Well, look, I think she's just modest like her owners, Ray. That's the point.
Fair enough.
No, she does seem to go under the radar, and I don't know what more she could have done. She's a tremendous filly, and I think after yesterday, I think people will sort of stand up and watch a bit.
Well, we get this from Dave from Cronulla, John. A big thanks to the bookies who again sent out Shoals at ridiculous odds. Keep up the good work. Which is a bit of a common theme. What about, we were talking off air, Ray and I, about a beautifully bred horse. How long can you keep her racing?
Well, this is the point. We're getting to a point now, I guess, over the next 2 or 3 months, we're going to have to make a decision whether she's going to go on into next year or whether, you know, that'll be enough. Personally, both owners are breeders as well, and we like to breed out of lightly raced mares, essentially. And at the moment, you could say she's lightly raced. She's only had the 10 starts. But I must say, the draw of staying on and winning a few more of these races is very strong.
What about England then, John? A lot of talk about Royal Ascot. And if that's the case, I think your trainer, Anthony Freeman, said she probably wouldn't run in the Goodwood. Any update on that?
Yeah, look, I've got to get together with Jonathan Munns, the other part owner, and we sit down and really seriously think about it. It's something we've kind of mused about over the last few months, thinking, oh, yeah, wouldn't it be nice, etc. And I think she's certainly got the qualifications to go over there. We've taken a couple of mares there before, I think she's, and performed pretty reasonably in England. So I think she's up to it. She's definitely up to it. And her racing style is good for it too. So she'd be a chance. And you know, life's going by and you don't get many opportunities like that.
That's the key.
You know, so we're going to sit down and have a chat about it over the next couple of days, and hopefully if she pulls up well, it has to be one of the options, right?
Yeah, I was going to ask too, John, for someone who's achieved so much in racing, as you say, these opportunities don't come along all the time. So I'd imagine it's a bucket list item for you, not only to be over there, but have a live chance.
Well, there's a race there called the July Cup, which is run at Newmarket. After Ascot, and that's the race I've always, you know, wanted to win. And don't ask me why, but it's got under my skin over the years. And it's kind of the sprinting championship. We ran third with Alverta in it a few years ago, and I feel this filly is probably better than Alverta, and so she'd be a real chance in that, if not Ascot. So yeah, it's something I'd like to do, and it's a way to promote the Australian horse as well while we're at it, which is a great thing for the whole industry over here. So yeah, it's something I'd like to do. So it's a matter of sitting down, talking to the trainer, and seeing what we want to do. But we'll do that over the next week or so, I'd say. But we've had our first inoculation, and we're going to have the next beetle tomorrow, which puts us in play to go over there.
John, it's been an amazing comeback by her, because I remember talking to you after she won the Group 1, the Surround, earlier in the autumn, and she had a setback then, and you were very downcast. You thought that might be the end of her race career, but, gee, she's turned it around.
Yeah, she got an infection, and sort of a bit of a blood clot there after a needle she got after the race. We thought, you know, and it got quite complicated, the vets were giving us conflicting reports, but basically it looked like she certainly should be out for the season. And we thought if she's out for the season, we'll probably retire her. But, no, she recovered well. And the interesting thing is the trainer was smart enough to keep doing something with her, you know. He kept either giving her a swim or walking her and treating her, just doing a little bit of work with her, enough to keep her toned up. And so she was able to pick up and go again as soon as that injury disappeared, she was able to, you know, come on very quickly, and she ran into that race nice and fit too, like yesterday.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely fantastic. Great win. John, appreciate your time this morning. Good luck with whatever the decision happens to be with Charles. I'm sure it'll be a popular one.
Thank you. You know what, the other race, of course, that has to come into play is the Everest.
Oh.
Has there been any slot holders showing some interest, John?
Yeah, there have been.
Already?
Yeah, already. Yesterday. So straight after the race, or a couple of hours after the race. So
remember, John, they're a long time retired.
Yeah, I do absolutely. I accept that.
Mm.
Yeah. I accept that. So a lot of options with a filly with that kind of talent at the moment. So
it's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, thank you.
Mm. Well, that's our fault, isn't it? Because we usually raise the Everest with it. You win anywhere from 1,000 metres to about 1,600, and we raise it, and we left it up to you to do it, John. So thank you for that, and you've given Ray a nice little scoop for tomorrow.
No problem.
Thanks, John.
There he is, John Massara, owner breeder of Shoals, and just looking to what might transpire. There you go, another horse.
What price is she in
for the Everest? Let's have a look at it. We'll just about get it there. And of course, we've got coming up very shortly, we're going to have our Event Cinemas quiz, Ray, which we can look forward to.
We're going to go to Churchill Downs shortly to talk to Tom Magnier.
Yeah, and we'll look forward to that
before
too.
Mendelssohn runs in the Kentucky Derby.
So we're looking at Shoals in tab.com.au, and
I'm tipping she'll be in the market now, Jim. She's not
in
there
the market.
At the moment.
Not in the market. Chautauqua was in the market, currently suspended. So there you go. There's an update on the Grey Flash. 1353 53, the open line number. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more.
50 months interest free. No deposit, no interest, with 50 equal monthly payments until July 2022 at Harvey Norman. Furniture and bedding, home appliances, televisions, and technology. Minimum financed amount $750. Approved applicants only. Interest applies if you do not comply with terms and conditions. Fees and exclusions apply. See website for details. Offer ends May 21. 50 months interest free. No deposit, no interest, with 50 equal monthly payments until July 2022. Now at Harvey Norman.
Another quick success story about radio. A real small real estate agency wanted to be a real big real estate agency. They heard that
radio
reaches over 68% of Australians every day, which means that
radio
reaches more Australians than all other audio platforms combined. So they ran a campaign. The more people heard their ads, the more homes they
sold.
And soon, the real small real estate agency became a real big real estate agency. Thanks to reaching 68% of Australians every day. Radio. Alive with reach. Alive with results. Visit radioalive.com.au.
All ground rises for Trotoff.
Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Now, welcome back to the program. Just about to go to callers on 1353 53. Near misses is what we're talking about today. Yankee sends this in. Near misses. Jimmy missing out on the Big Sports Breakfast gig to Laurie Daly. LOL. The thing about that, I don't think it was a near miss.
What are you saying? It was a wide miss?
Length of the street.
But you got so many gigs, Jim, you probably couldn't fit it in the way you're going at the moment.
1353 53, the open line number. Anthony's on the line with the more near misses.
Look, I'm going to give you two quick ones. One involves our friend Malcolm Johnson. When he dropped his hands on Kingston Town Mall, Mick was a near miss.
He didn't drop his hands, did he?
He dropped his hands. No.
The Moore Mink nearly grabbed him. Is that right?
The Moore Mink race. No, sorry. No, 100%. That was the Warwick Stakes, Warwick Farm, 1982. I was there. Nearly had a heart attack.
He was home, dropped his hand, and Moore Mink went dash.
He did.
What did TJ say that day?
Don't know. He still won by about a long neck.
Oh, right.
But,
okay.
No, good one, Anthony,
And the other one is my old mate, Michael Crane, missed that goal for the Eddie Sokowicz try, which would won Paris' first grand final.
77, wasn't it? 77?
Yeah.
That was the
replay.
St. George.
Replay grand final.
St. George.
Ron Greedy just wouldn't leave Ray Price's hair alone for the entire 80 minutes.
That's
tell you
right,
what, what about two tough men going head-to-head, Ray Price and Rod Reddy?
Gee, imagine that, eh?
And Ray Scholes, the top yearling price the sales this year was Scholes' sister, brother.
That's right, $2.3 million top of my head, Anthony, is that right? Or?
Yeah, 2.4, something like that.
Yeah, amazing family.
That was Anthony Freeman again.
Yeah, that was a near miss for Ray, just an underbidder on that one. So
that's a six north.
Good on you, Anthony, appreciate that one, 1353.
53 is the open line number. Let's go to Rabbit on the line. G'day, Rabbit.
G'day, boys. Hey, firstly, when I was listening to the news, I thought it was like 1950 or something. Where'd you find that bloke?
Oh, he's one. We've got him in the cupboard out the back. We bring him out on Sunday morning.
He's got the voice from 1950. You know, in those old movie tone news, they had the old
yellow
voice.
Oh, yeah. What are
and
you saying,
Bradman? And Bradman scores again
and he
through the covers.
Hits the thing on the...
Exactly.
That's right. Yeah, no, I woke up and I have to check my phone.
What are you saying, Rabbit? We should get Tanya to do the news as well.
It's classic. And you can tell he comes from Victoria.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Why is that?
News readers in Victoria have a different tone in their voice. Haven't you ever noticed?
Well, I know for a fact that Victorians are very different people.
Yeah, they're very, very,
very different people.
Yes, that's right. Now,
this show going to Victoria?
I hope so.
Hey, what about Rabbitohs? I went up on Newcastle.
Did you?
Very slick.
Very good win. Very good win.
Tax excellent, isn't it? Rabbit,
and St. George game next week will be a ding-dong.
Mm. Good point.
Good band. Sam's back. Now, two near misses, both at Sydney Football Stadium. Yeah. Rabbitohs about to win against the Broncos. I don't know what year it was, but Gordon Tallis wrestled the ball one-on-one strip with 1 second to go.
Paul Stringer.
No. What's his name? Tallis.
Yeah, Gordon Tallis ripped the ball from
Paul Stringer.
Yes. And I just dumbfounded. Even today, I cannot believe they lost that.
That's right.
The other near miss was for the Roosters when Rabbitohs came back and had to score two tries in a minute and a half.
Take me that. Now. I have seen it all.
Mm. I have watched that probably 22 times. That's a great finish.
It's unbelievable.
Fair enough.
The ball's thrown out the back. Is it Isaac Luke throws it out the back and it just bounces up perfectly for Adam Reynolds?
Anthony, in your little book there, Jim?
Yep.
Who? Rabbit?
Rabbit, sorry, in your little book there.
Rabbit's got a double asterisk on that one. Great call, Rabbit. Yeah, good on you, mate. We do appreciate it. 1353-53 is the open line number.
Looking at Lee, wanders off the rail, now with three lengths to make up and a 16th to go. But Always Dreaming is digging down, and Always Dreaming is holding on. Looking at Lee, can't catch Always Dreaming, who's the 143rd winner of the Kentucky Derby.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Now, Friday was May the 4th, Ray, and Event Cinemas at George Street are celebrating with tickets for Solo, a Star Wars story, now on sale. Han Solo.
Okay. You into that? The boys into it?
Love it. Mm. Through a series of daring escapades, the young Han Solo meets his future co-pilot, Chewbacca, and encounters the notorious Lando Calrissian.
Great.
See it on the big screen in VMAX or in the luxury of Gold Class from May 24th. At Event Cinemas. Tickets on sale now at eventcinemas.com.au. Prakash is so professional now. Call now about the Event Cinemas quiz.
Ladder.
He's driving up the corporate ladder. Look at him. Call now if you'd like.
Score check.
I'm 10.
I'm 7.
You're 7. Mm-hmm. So call now on 1353-53 if you'd like to be a part of today's quiz.
Out of the pack comes Clearly Innocent going into second from Counter Attack. Jungle Edge in front. Here's Clearly Innocent on the outside and shortly afterward. Clearly Innocent stormed up, hit the lead. And Clearly Innocent, the King of Scone, races clear at Eagle Farm.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
4, 3, 2, 1. Well, Jimmy, today is the day of one of the great races in world sport, the 144th running of the Kentucky Derby, the Run of the Roses. And Tom Magner, a part owner of Mendelssohn, who's trying to create a piece of racing history by becoming the first European trained horse to win the Kentucky Derby. He's at Churchill Downs. I understand a very wet Churchill Downs. Hello, Tom Magner.
Hey, how are you getting on, Ray? Yeah, all good. Yeah, no, there's the rain sort of came down this morning, and the track went from a good track to not a good track. So, it's, you know, there's conditions here are not ideal at the moment. Mm.
Yeah, from what we understand, Tom, it's been downgraded officially from fast to muddy, which is going to entertain some of our listeners. But Mendelssohn's form in mud, how does that stack up?
I was talking to Aiden there about it a minute ago when we were just chatting, and the thing about it is it's an unknown for us. Like the horse, he obviously ran in the Breeders' Cup here, and then he went to Dubai, and you know he was very impressive in Dubai, but he's never seen a wet dirt track before. But you know his pedigree is all dirt. But I'd say I don't know if there's too many horses that this will suit today. But to listen, we're here, we have a chance, and you know it's great to be a part of it. It's a fantastic race.
Tom, Aidan O'Brien set so many records during his 20-year training career, and earlier today won the English 2000 Guineas for a ninth time with Saxon Warrior. He wasn't at Newmarket. He's gone to America to Churchill Downs to watch Mendelssohn. You've flown to Churchill Downs to watch Mendelssohn. There must be an air of confidence in the Coolmore camp about this colt.
Hey, you know, listen, you know, to be fair, Jonathan gave Saxon Warrior a great ride in Newmarket today, and so he's obviously a son of Deep Impact, so he's a horse to look forward for us in the future. I'd say, well, you know, he could be a horse of the Triple Crown in Europe, which I think my grandfather won it about 30 years ago, so I don't think it's happened since then. But no, actually more than that. I think it was like in the 70s.
1970, yeah, you know, Nijinsky, yeah.
Yeah, that was Nijinsky, and you know, like this, the horse today was pretty special, but you know, Mendelssohn today, it's obviously a huge ask. No European horse has done it before, but, you know, I think we'd have been happier before the rain came. But, you know, listen, it's an unknown for us, and I think, you know, you speak to a lot of people here in America today, and they probably, you know, it's an unknown for a lot of people. So we'll see what happens. I'd say we need a bit of luck, you know.
Tom, the threats, where do they come from mostly? Justify is $4.50 at tab.com.au with the legendary Bob Baffert training. Who do you see as the greatest threat for Mendelssohn?
You know, Bob Baffert is obviously an unbelievable trainer. You know, we've had American Pharaoh with him. And, you know, there's a bit of rivalry in the camp. Michael Wallace is obviously on that team. And, you know, I think Justify is that, you know, he'll be hard to beat. But as I said, with the weather conditions the way they are, I think it's the whole thing is very open. And as I said to Aidan, I said, listen, how do you think we'll go? And he just goes, look, it's an unknown for us today. Ryan came in and just said, listen, it's one of the worst. The track is as bad as he's seen it over here in a long time. So, you know, we just had two horses go around and they found it very difficult. So, you know, we'll see what happens. We need a bit of luck.
Just finally, Tom, what's the crowd like, given it is a very wet Kentucky Derby day? They often get 140,000 plus. What's the crowd looking like at Churchill Downs today?
The crowd is still here. The crowd is good. The crowd is fantastic. But I tell you guys, it's a long way away from Flemington on Delbert Cup Day. We're about to go down, and we have to walk through the track to bring the horses across. And I promise you, I just wish I'd brought a different boost, because we'll have them covered in water in the next sort of 45 minutes. But listen, it'd be good. And if we can get a couple of those roses and bring them back to the Hunter Valley tomorrow, it'd be a bit of excitement.
Yeah, it would be fantastic. Look, if you see Kurt and Mary Hyde from Los Angeles, can you say hello to them? They're my in-laws, Tom.
No, I will do. Perfect.
What chance is that?
Try and back Mendelssohn. We'll see.
We'll tell him to back Mendelssohn. Absolutely. I'll send a text message. Tom, fantastic that we can grab you. Good luck today, despite the weather, and let's hope it plays out very well for you, for Aidan, and for Coolmore.
Thanks very much, guys.
Thanks, Tom.
Bye, bye.
That race is on at 8:50. Jimmy, wouldn't it be something if Mendelssohn could win the Kentucky Derby?
Huge, Raymond.
Freestanding clear at the 100. They're coming hell west and crooked, but it's freestanding for the Northern Rivers in front. And freestanding will win it.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Righto, let's get into the quiz, because we've got 7 minutes' time. They're running at Churchill Downs. So player one, playing for me, is Rodney. Hello, Rodney.
G'day, Jimmy.
All right, good luck, my son.
All right.
Question one. The Panthers played North Queensland on Friday night. Where did they play?
Bathurst.
Yes, we'll accept that.
Producer Steve isn't happy with that.
Oh, well, they played at Bathurst. Look, I'm going to make an executive decision here and say that's good enough. Rodney, well done.
He's pulled rank, Producer Steve.
There we go. Hang on, I've got to get something through here
that's
at some
right.
stage. Carrington Park, Bathurst.
We'll go with it, Rodney. We'll go with it.
Question two. What was banned in US basketball
from 1967 to 1976? Was it A, advertising on uniforms, B, trash talking, or C, slam dunking?
Slam dunking.
Oh, good knowledge there. Well done. Question three. Who holds the record for the most points in a State of Origin match? Is it
Ryan Girdler?
Our man's on fire.
32. Oh, by the way, legend of the game, Ryan Girdler, coming up very short. Three from three, Rodney. You're a star. Stay on the line. I think you'll be needed.
That'll be hard. EJ, you there?
G'day, Ray. How you going, mate?
Yeah, terrific, EJ. Hey, mate, we can't afford to make one mistake here. Okay, best of luck. Question number one. The European Champions League final is on May 27. Which two teams are in the final?
No idea.
Real Madrid versus the great guys, Liverpool. Bad luck, EJ.
Sorry, mate.
That's all right, mate.
No, you're fine, EJ. No problem whatsoever, mate.
Depend on you, Ray.
At least you call in next week, EJ. We'll try it again, mate. Thanks, EJ.
Yeah, absolutely. By all means, call in again, EJ, and you can be on Ray's team again next week. Rodney, though, you could be on my team next week. Well done, Rodney. You there, Rodney? You with us?
There he is. Well done, Rodney.
Well done.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Terrific.
Good stuff. We've got Event Cinemas tickets coming your way. Where do you live, Rodney?
Oyster Bay. I'll be going to Red Cinemas at Miranda.
Oh,
there we go.
Been there. Yeah. Fantastic. We'll send you out some CDs courtesy of Sony Music as well, the Elvis Presley pack that we'll have coming your way as well. So good on you, mate. Stay on the line. We'll get your details.
Thanks, Rodney.
There he is, Rodney from Oyster Bay. So we might take a quick break here, but before we take the quick break, have you got a tip for the listeners in the Kentucky Derby?
I haven't done the form, but I'd love to see Mendelssohn win, only because it'd be an historic moment in world horse racing if a European trained horse, can win the Kentucky Derby.
G'day, Laurie Daly here. Ever wanted to know what's going on in an NRL player's head? Well, so get ahead of the game every game this footy season.
Download the Tab app and access new NRL previews today. Tab, we love a bet. Tab previews available for account holders only. Gamble responsibly.
Gods have given you mortals many things, but now we present our greatest gift, Greek lamb with tzatziki from Subway. Deliciously tender sliced Australian lamb, marinated in garlic and paprika, topped with zesty tzatziki sauce. It's a mouth-watering taste of Greece. So get it before it's gone. Greek lamb from Subway. That's my kind of heavenly taste. Limited time only at participating restaurants.
50 months interest free. No deposit, no interest with 50 equal monthly payments until July 2022 at Harvey Norman. Furniture and bedding, home appliances, televisions and technology. Minimum financed amount $750. Approved applicants only. Interest applies if you do not comply with terms and conditions. Fees and exclusions apply. See website for details. Offer ends May 21. 50 months interest free. No deposit, no interest with 50 equal monthly payments until July 2022. Now at Harvey Norman.
Another quick success story about radio. A brand manager needed to promote a new source. A yummy new source.
Yum!
She knew that, on average, Australians listen to the radio for 2 hours and 10 minutes each day. So she ran a tasty radio ad telling everyone how
yum!
Her new brand of was. People heard the ads in there. They heard them in the...
Hello!
And while they made...
Dinner!
Soon the
yum!
New brand of was on...
Dinner!
Tables everywhere. All thanks to radio. Alive with listeners, alive with results. Visit radioalive.com.au.
Perfect read. Will it be his life-changing moment?
Yes, it will. Captain America captures Augusta.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
It's just before they're loading and ready to jump over there at Churchill Downs, and we'll get a bit of a background from you on this, Roman. A couple more near misses coming in via SMS. There was a near miss in the A-League Grand Final last night. Roy O'Donovan nearly missed taking the keeper's face completely off.
Mm-hmm.
That was from Hedgie. Yeah, it was a shocking incident. Agree with that one, Hedgie. And then we've got a couple here. Near misses. What about Australia v the West Indies when Craig McDermott was given out, caught behind? Windies won by one run.
Is that when Border...
Steve.
chucked the ball down.
Threw the ball in the Adelaide dressing room, yeah.
That was a series too, wasn't it?
They went to Perth.
And got absolutely steamrolled in 2 days.
In about 2.5 days, yeah.
They would have won the series if they'd held on there in Adelaide.
And then there's the other one, 1999 World Cup cricket semi-final with the run-out, South Africa v Australia. Rolling the ball down the pitch. That's from Mark. That was Damien Fleming.
That's right.
Rolled it down the pitch. Oh, Donald didn't run. Yeah. Can you believe
it? Is that Bill Laurie?
Absolutely. Yeah. The great Bill Laurie.
Will he get a gig on Seven?
If he would like it, I reckon he gets
it. Yeah. He's so popular, Bill Laurie.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mendelssohn. Now, he was purchased for $3 million as a yearling, Jim. So pretty rare to see these absolutely top-priced yearlings come on and do well on the racetrack like he has, because he won a Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf in America last season. And I don't know, you wouldn't have seen it, but he won the UAE Derby. Aidan O'Brien took him across the World Cup night to run in the Derby on dirt in Dubai to see how he'd handle it. Won by panels, won by about 15, 20 lengths. It was unbelievable. Hence the reason he's in America for the Kentucky Derby.
Ryan Moore, who's world's best jockey, according to the world's best jockey.
Now, they could have been at Newmarket and ridden Saxon Warrior, who, have you heard from Tom Magnier, won the English 2000 Guineas earlier today. It's the first of the English classics, but they've all gone to America for Mendelssohn.
And just looking at the prices that are coming in now, fixed odds, $7 for Mendelssohn, or just quickly into $6.50 now. Justify is the horse that's firmed up, $4 now for Bob Baffert. So there you go.
American Pharaohs, man.
The changing of the market
just
there.
Just why they're moving in, Jim. A caller mentioned Gordon Towsett. Did you play against Gordon Towsett?
Oh, I had the misfortune of playing against Gordon quite a lot.
He's such an influential player when you think back on his career. He's one of the best. We should get him on as a legend.
Well, absolutely. We'd love to get him on. He's, in many ways for me, he is the social conscience of rugby league. He's a straight shooter. He tells it like it is. He makes compelling television. And as a rugby league player, he was first among equals.
Very well said.
He was the guy that, he was the footballer's footballer.
Did he ever smash you?
Oh, often.
Did he?
You give me nightmares.
Did you give him one back once?
I once tackled him and he lost the ball.
Hey, James Smith, well done.
Yeah, and I always say to him, I bashed you that day at Allianz Stadium, and then hope he doesn't take retribution. We were standing around waiting for the scrum to pack, and all the Dragons players were saying, oh, lucky shot, lucky shot. And Craig Salvatore said, yeah, lucky, he'll do it again.
What did you
say?
And
I was thinking, Salvo, be quiet. I probably won't do it again.
Did he come looking for you? Did he come looking for you?
I don't think he did. I would have known it. I remember he and Terry Hermanson had a collision at one point. And Hermo, I thought, nearly killed Martin Lang one day. Oh God,
Martin
he hit
Lang
him
used to run so hard straight at the fence.
And Hermo hit him one day, I thought he killed him. Well, I tell you what, he and Gordon Tallis came head to head at one stage, and neither man gave an inch.
I can imagine that.
And there was a weight difference there of about 15 kilos.
We're about to move in, James. It is an absolute slop. Here's a Kentucky Derby.
Santana Jr. They're all in line.
They're in the gate. And they're off in the Kentucky Derby. And promises fulfilled. Great start. Flawless as well for Justify coming out of the gate. Both Doros flashing speed on the outside, and so is Noble Indy. And Good Magic is not far behind either. Beneath the iconic twin spires for the first time. Promises fulfilled out to set the pace. Justify is right there racing in second. Good Magic in behind while third. Both Doros racing in fourth. Flameway on the inside in fifth. Firenze Fire moves up to be sixth. Noble Indy is seventh. Mendelssohn is off the pace today racing in eighth. Free Drop Billy down inside ninth. Audible pushed along in tenth. Bravazzo is 11th. Entice is running along in 12th. Combatant is wide on the first turn in 13th. Magnum Moon is 14th. Lone Sailor is 15th. Hoffberg is at the back of the pack racing in 16th by 3. Then we come back to Instilled Regard in Vino Rosso. Five or six more back to My Boy Jack. Solomini is the last of them all. A brutal half mile in the slop in 45 and 3/5 seconds. And just like that, Justify seizes the lead with a half mile to go in the Kentucky Derby. Promises fulfilled, trying to keep up second and inside. Flameaway is not far behind, racing third. Bolt Doros 3-1 on the far turn in fourth. Firenze fired on inside fifth. Champion Good Magic moves up one spot while wide on the far turn. Farther back, Bravazzo starting to muster up a rally. Going past Noble Indy. Ottawa starting to pick it up with 3 furlongs to go. Instilled Regards finding his best ride as well. So is Vino.
Valentino Rosso on the far outside as they race for the top of the stretch with Justify the one to catch. Here comes Good Magic on the outside for the final quarter mile. Justify turns for home in front. Good Magic in a full-out drive with 3/16 to go, but Justify and Mike Smith are digging down on a two-length lead. Good Magic is wandering about the track from far behind Audible Rallies to be third. They're coming to the final 16th, and it's Justify and Good Magic and Audible. Justify in a two-length lead. Final try from Good Magic. All rise for Justify. The Kentucky Derby was never in doubt. Wins by 2.5. It's tight for second between Good Magic and Audible. Instilled Regard was fourth.
Well, there he is. He's done it again. Bob Baffert. With Mike Smith on board. $4.50. Justify, number seven. A photo for second and third. We think it might have been Good Magic. And we'll get an update on that very shortly. But poor old Mendelssohn swallowed that much mud. very, very tough conditions for the horses
over
there.
When it's that sloppy, it's best to be up on the speed, isn't it, where Justify was. And Bob Baffert's done it again. The American Pharaoh man, Jim.
Is that Mendelssohn's normal race pattern that it gets back? Or
No, we were sort of front half there, but he started losing ground about the halfway mark. You could tell he was under all sorts, so... There you go. It's one of those final frontiers. It hasn't been conquered yet.
And they all
European
come,
horses.
And they all come back as the one colour, the horses, don't they? If they were not, if they were not a front marker, they're all covered in mud.
Mike Smith is virtually,
there's not a stain on
silks are as clean as.
Yeah, Justify. Now, Bob Baffert, how many Kentucky Derbies do you think?
I think it's five now.
Five?
I think.
Right. And Mike Smith, he would have won a couple,
won
has
a
he?
Couple. And, of course, Bob Baffert trained the Great American Pharaoh. So
yeah, there you go. It justifies you buying that shirt, doesn't it? 1353 53 is the open line number. Near misses, boys. Ray Finkel. Missed field goal in Ace Ventura. Pet detective. The laces were in.
That's right.
Perks from the roof. One of the great movies. One of the great...
Ferg's got to get a little.
Yeah, we'll get something. We'll get
there.
Something.
Yeah, very good.
Ferg's.
Yeah.
Finkel. What's the as he said? Laces out. Finkel.
That's right.
Do you know Dan Marino was in that movie?
Yeah, Tanya loves that movie.
Yeah.
Absolutely loves it.
Good one, Ferg's. Ray Finkel.
Laces were in.
Can't believe we missed that one. So there you go. We'll get that updated price, but $4.50.
A lot more near miss. This one from Fitzy. Greg Norman's heartbreaking loss to Faldo and the Masters. That would have been 96. Or any of his near misses.
There were so many of
Larry
them.
Myers and it gets a run quite often. Bauer, the 2008 Melbourne Cup. Little grey horse on the outside of Viewed. I swear he won that race to this day. He was... Corey Brown was in front of Blake Shin, wasn't he, on Bauer?
Hi, guys. Near misses, 2008 Melbourne Cup. Bauer stays in the gates and Viewed wins the cup by a lip, but the near misses that Bauer runs a faster time than Viewed, Dave, from West Ryde, because he stayed in the gate. So he actually covered the distance in a shorter amount of time, but doesn't get the win.
And when you see the picture of him, because he's such a small horse, Bauer, Corey Brown's in front of Blake
Shin. He's in front, right. But the nose is not.
No.
1353-53. Andrew's on the line. G'day, Andrew.
Hey, boys. How are we?
Morning,
really
Andrew.
Well, mate.
Well, here's a couple for you. Remember, you probably would, 1997, the grand final against Manly. It was a great win, wasn't it? 6 seconds to go. That was a pretty near miss
for Seagull
Manly that game.
Yeah. Andrew John's down a short side,
And
one of the great finishes of all time.
Then there was another one a couple of years ago, Terry Lamb. Remember, he scored a field goal and the Knights were ahead by 2 points or something like that.
Oh, he kicked the field goal. That's right.
At Belmore Sports Ground, one of the most famous or infamous field goals ever kicked.
Yeah. And here's one more. I thought about it while I was waiting. But remember a couple of years ago, the Knights were playing Melbourne. And Melbourne were ahead by about 10 points with about 5 minutes to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And Kirk Keithley come back and he scored it. I can't remember if he actually scored the goal to win, but I know he was kicking right on the bell for it. So, that was a couple of years ago.
And they did a real stacks on. Yeah. They all jumped on him at the end of the game when he'd won it for them. Mm. I think they scored more than 10.
I just remember seeing the highlights the other day, so it was pretty good.
That was massive. That was massive. Yeah, yeah, good memory there, Andrew. Yeah, appreciate that one.
Okay.
Good one.
No worries.
Hey, boys, We've got an SMS here. Hey, boys, near misses would be Kenny Powers striking out Reg McWorthy when he popped his eyeball out with a fastball in Eastbound and Down in the car park. Jeez, Charlie. Have you seen that show, Eastbound and Down?
No.
It's quite a funny show, actually. Yeah. Now, we get this from Bruce on Twitter. How good was it last night when the crowd sang the national anthem at the A-League Grand Final? Great stuff.
Mm.
Didn't see that.
They were singing half hour before the game. Both supporters were trying to out-sing each other, and the national anthem was just topped it off. But it was a magical atmosphere, Jim.
Yeah. And then the other one we get, we've had a number of SMS today talking about what a terrible grand final it was last night, Jimmy and Ray. It all started with the so-called pre-match entertainment, a very boring game, and Victory captain not giving his scarf to the young girl who presented him with his medal. All the players did. Poor form. That's regards from the Red Lion.
I missed that.
I didn't see that either. Yeah. So a couple of other people said they weren't so happy with the A-League grand final. Clearly, Jet supporters, I would have thought, Ray. 1353 53, that's the open line number. Coming up after the news, Ryan Girdler is our lead.